gentlemen.
Wow. Right. Hello, it is Tuesday.
Yes.
And it's April 4.
April?
April.
April.
April 4.
April.
Phone number 1-877-365-3636. Bear with me on this music. I have a song.
This music is like from the Twilight Zone, you know, where the kid brings the teacher back to the house and all the parents have to do what he says. Remember that one?
I have a song. However, I can't find the CD. I mean, I know the song.
A new theme song?
Yes.
That we're going to play every day.
Yes, that we could use for the theme song when we come on, but we don't have it today. So we're just going with our generic cartoon music today.
And it wouldn't be returning back from a vacation if someone hadn't taken my microphone and soaked it in lemon juice.
It is not a rerun. It is a new show. We are back. Hallelujah. We're here for the rest of our friggin' lives.
That's right.
And our toll-free telephone number is 1-877-365-3636.
This music is something. Is this from one of those, like, 40s cartoons?
Yeah, it sure is.
That's when they, you know, you should hear the clacking pretty soon where the shoes come dancing
and go.
I think you'd be able to judge right away in the beginning of the show what type of vacation we had.
Absolutely.
Hence, let me point this out. While I'm glad to be here and I love this job and coming to work is a great joy every day.
Am I too excited?
Yeah. Frankly, you know, they had to drag me away from the beach.
This is a role reversal
to get me
today,
back
folks.
Today. Wow. And Mike, on the other
this
hand,
this is a role reversal, and I don't know if we've had it a couple of times. We've had, but I usually have pretty good vacations.
Mike had such a crappy vacation. He was virtually doing the show in the office upstairs. Keep some in your pants. Wait for the show.
Oh man, it is good to be back. It really, really is. It's gray. It's raining out. You know, it's kind of nasty.
No, it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks on ice to be back.
Oh, boy.
You don't know. If I didn't have a kid...
Beats the hell out of Myrtle Beach, I'll tell you that right now.
If I didn't have a kid, I would have been this close to calling you up today and saying, guess what?
That's it.
I'm out.
I'm done.
We're moving to the Cayman Islands for... ever.
You, I do not believe, have had this good a time on vacation in the last couple of years.
I don't think I have ever had as
good
a time.
I think this might be a record. And this is how I tell. It's kind of sick the way I tell. I mean, I knew when you walked in, because normally you come in and we've got that back from vacation kind of, we're all bouncing around, hey, to find out, you know, hey, everybody. Today you came in and you were definitely, like, just a little down. Like, you wanted to still be on your island in the Caribbean.
I just spent 8 days in the greatest spot on the face of Earth, and I've returned to the worst spot on the face of the Earth.
I should point out, you have been to nice places before, but you have always something happen to you where you wanted to race back.
And I had plenty of bad stuff happen to me, and I'll be glad to tell you about that over the course of today's show.
Right.
You know, including the scuba diving and, you know, the problems with trying to play golf and you know, driving in a foreign country where the steering wheels are on the wrong side and you drive on the wrong side of the road. But all of that having been said,
right,
I'm ready to bag it right now.
Okay.
And just go live down there.
All right.
I really am.
All right. Let's
do it. I can't.
Let's go.
I can't. I got a goddamn mortgage.
Gentlemen, you know, with today's technology,
mm-hmm.
Show of hands. I'm the only one with small children. I have no objections. Who would like to do the show from a Caribbean island?
Oh, Christ.
Look at this. Look.
It's unanimous.
Look around the room.
All the hands are up.
I'm serious.
Yes, I'm telling you. We would not get one lick of work done.
True.
That's the great thing. And right. I found out, you don't pronounce it Cayman Islands.
No?
It's Cayman.
Huh.
Not Cayman.
Right.
Cayman. Even though in the movie The Firm, they keep saying that they're going to launder the money in the Cayman Islands, the correct pronunciation
right.
is Cayman.
Well, listen, I know you want to just, like, drop out of society and live, but if you ever have the idea that you'd like to, like, originate the show, like Bruce Williams, you know, that old fat old guy used to, didn't he do his show from, like, Florida or something?
Yes,
like
he
that?
Does, like, he does it yeah. from a bunker in Disney World or something.
Anytime you want to, like, move the whole hit parade down there and the good people at CBS will pay for it, I'm with you.
Well, there's two problems. First problem would be getting the good people from CBS to pay for it.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The second problem is when I go down there, yeah. I'm dropping off the face of the earth.
You're
man.
Dropping out of society. Is that where you will, like, live out your life?
You don't know. You don't even know the serious discussions that my wife and I
about
had.
Really moving there someday.
Yeah, and, like, as soon as possible.
You Like it down there.
Remember we had discussions about, well, how much money do we have in the bank?
And sure.
How much money would it take to live for a month down there?
See, this is total role reversal. I have that discussion on every single vacation I've ever gone on.
I never have. But listen, here now, back. Glad to be in these crappy surroundings. I am glad to see you guys. That I can say.
And good
truly,
to see you.
Truly glad. I truly do miss you guys.
Good
and
to
it,
be
it
back.
Takes about, I don't know if you're like me, it takes about 3 days. For the first 3 days of vacation, I'm just glad. I'm sick of all of you. I'm sick of this place. I'm sick of everything. But about 3 days into it, I really started wondering, I wonder what Mike's doing now.
It's always that way. And when we come back from vacation, good or bad, you know, I'm in this, like, euphoric, great to be back at work. That lasts, I think we estimated 45 minutes.
Not even that long.
Sometimes, probably not even that long.
By the time we take the first telephone call,
that'll be it.
That is the cold cup of water back in our face.
And it's a cyclical thing. These rhythms, these patterns that have developed over the years, they stay the same. It's always the same. Like, when you go away, you know, you start to get a little bit, you know, homesick. You miss the old ranch and all of us. And then, you know, you settle into the vacation mode. Then when you come back, you see the rhythm's broken though,
right.
You're normally
it's broken.
Very excited when you come back.
Because I'm ready to stay. I was absolutely ready to stay.
Wow.
Just find me a tiki hut somewhere.
Yeah, it's a great lifestyle.
And just eat other people's scraps off the beach.
You've got a son who's almost college age, so I mean, technically, you can live wherever you want.
And we also had the thrill, I'll tell you about this on today's show, of getting Barney his driver's license.
Well, let's give your son a round of applause, man.
Which we did yesterday.
It's a milestone.
We spent most of the day driving white-knuckled fear with him on the highways and byways of D.C. Tell you about that also.
That's wonderful.
Listen, before we get to the vacation recaps and your telephone calls, I do want to get a couple of pieces of business done here. First, I want to tell you about the show we're having Friday. Okay, this Friday. We're having a big... Now, I wanted to call it the Hairiest Bush Contest, but the station will not allow us to call it the Hairiest Bush Contest.
What did standards and practices come up with?
Well, here is the compromise. It's the Messy Garden Show.
The Messy Garden...
Well, we're going to be offering...
I hate standards and practices.
I know. You know, we can say Bush, and we can say Harry. We could even say together... Harry Bush 1,000 times a day on this show.
Right.
But if you want to have a contest and you want to call it the Harry Bush Contest...
Then you're stepping on some toes.
Then you got a problem. Oh, I do have a funny, funny picture, though, for you of when you get off the airplane there in the Cayman Islands...
Yeah, and then you hip everybody to the pronunciation because everybody calls it the Cayman Islands.
No, it's right. Cayman.
Cayman.
So when you get off the airplane there and you're driving down the road, the first thing you see is a business and the guy's name is... Harry Bush, H-A-R-R-Y-B-U-S-H. We took some pictures. As soon as the pictures come back, I'll bring them in. I'll share them with you.
Yeah, I bet he's famous down there.
So what we're going to be giving away on Friday's episode, is three lucky ladies with the messiest gardens will get permanent laser hair removal.
Wonderful.
From their bikini area, meaning that they will never, never... have to shave, have to pluck, have to be waxed again down there.
That's wonderful.
And what we're looking for are, frankly, the three biggest messes that we can find. You know, the most untrimmed, unweeded, unruly...
Garden.
Jungle-looking gardens that we can find.
Okay.
We're going to get, hopefully, a room full of women with their messy gardens down here on Friday.
Good.
And we will select the three worst cases... And those three lucky women will each win the permanent laser hair removal. And each of these surgeries, each of these laser removals, is valued at $1,500.
Now, that would strike me as being a rather tedious process. I mean, do they have to do every individual follicle, or can he knock them out real quick? I mean,
I'm not sure.
They've made incredible strides in this area.
Yes, they have.
It's laser removal, and it says here, courtesy of... Physicians Cosmetic Laser Institute, guaranteed if a hair grows back, you go back for free.
That's incredible.
Hey,
that is really, really incredible. And I, you know, even women that wouldn't necessarily have the untrimmed garden would probably like that so they wouldn't have to continuously maintain.
Yeah, so Friday it'll be the Parade of Gardens.
That's great.
And we'll start talking about that soon. We also start a new contest today. It's the return of the time-tested favorite, the Rented Mortgage Contest.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yay.
People love that. We will be paying lots of rents and lots of mortgages. We do have a sponsor to bankroll this, so we'll be able to roll out the bucks.
That's good.
We'll start that later this hour, and we will do our first broadcast from the New York station, I think on Thursday of this week.
Thursday.
So that's what I had for you. I see that the telephones are very much lit up. Nobody wants to say welcome back. Everybody just wants to talk about The Sopranos.
Huh. Well, I can understand why. It was... Well, I think the best episode of the year was this past weekend.
Well, you got rid of the two biggest hemorrhoids on the face of The Sopranos, and one of them is gone forever.
One's gone forever, and then the other one probably's not coming back. Man, when he put her on the bus, Janice,
the lovely Janice, we'll wind it up and let it go.
When she was on the bus, I mean, it was just more good news.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, who could blame Richie for punching her in the first place? And then who could blame Janice for shooting him in the second place?
And there's an obscure new character. I don't know how much he'll be featured, but I liked him. I think he's a real legitimate good fella, and I hope they use more of him. He's kind of a pretty boy, but I like him. He's the guy that Richie went to the bar and talked to about the hit, wanted to bring him in.
Oh, the guy
and
who
he
went,
was also at the did, meeting about
he
the
went
contract.
To Junior Soprano's house, you mean? Is that the guy who went to Junior's with him?
He goes to see Junior after he has the meeting with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy. You know when they're having the meeting about the contract, the construction contract?
Right.
And they're all out there in the rain with umbrellas.
Right.
You've got Richie.
All right, the
and
guy who
Richie's
was,
nephew, I think it is, and then the guy next to him.
Gotcha.
He looked to me like the real deal, and I hope they use him more. I really
well, thank
do.
Goodness Richie's dead.
Yeah, Richie. He's gone.
He's out of our lives.
Janice
forever.
Put a hole in him.
It would have been great if Christopher could have been killed, but then again, if Christopher was killed, he couldn't have put on that big butcher outfit.
I know.
Cut Richie into little pieces.
And he's not going to eat there for a while.
Yeah.
Remember that line?
Yeah, I mean, for a couple of days.
I'm not going to eat right. there for a couple of days.
All right, let's take a couple of telephone calls just to get back in the swing of things. Then I got just a ton of vacation stuff to talk to you about. And I know that you also had a... very interesting vacation.
Interesting it was.
Hello, Steve. This is always a very important mood-setting call. This is the first call back from a week of vacation.
Okay.
Steve, buddy.
Hey, buddies.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just want to know what the hell a Gumar was.
That's a girlfriend on the side.
Yep. Oh, all right.
That's a Gumar. That's why
you weren't able to figure that out?
No, I was. I could not figure it out.
Hmm. You know, though... Not, in my opinion, at this juncture, this does not diminish my excitement about being back. It does not strike me as a total moron phone call.
No.
It's kind of a legitimate question, because it is Gumar. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily
know. Yeah, but you could figure out from watching the show that they were referring to Tony's Gumar. And
yeah,
then,
but I'm guessing,
and then
so
then
I'm
when,
saying, yeah.
When Carm said to Janice, well, it'll be a year until he gets his Gumar.
A Gumar.
Yeah, you know, meaning whore.
And then I thought of Rob, when Junior Soprano is, he's talking to his lawyer, and he says something... like that you would say, Rob, when you were doing Junior, he's hemorrhaging spongelix.
I thought of you, I laughed out loud.
We were doing that in Little Italy one day.
Hello, Scotty.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. Welcome back.
Thank you, buddy.
Listen, that Grand Cayman Islands. Cayman Islands.
Yes.
The best meal I've ever had in my life was down there at Chappelle's restaurant.
Can you turn down your radio, please?
I don't have it on.
Chappelle, like the TV guy?
Yeah, the TV guy. He's got a place called the Grand Old Plantation House down there.
Yeah, Ron Popeil has a place down there also.
Yeah, wrong name, but, you know.
All right, guys, so out of it.
Robbie, these lines are all jammed up.
Okay, back, that last call,
mm-hmm.
he started the
hello.
Beginning.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's still fine. Hello, okay. Greg.
Hey, Don and Mike, welcome back.
Greg, buddy, hello.
Hey, did you go to Stingray City out there? Catch some stingrays?
What are you looking at me for, Mike?
Because you have a piece of Scotch tape on your headphones that looks kind of goofy.
Oh, really? Where?
No, it's on the cord. Rob got it for you. Rob took it away.
Hey, have you noticed? I am now officially, let me get back with this. I am the blackest man on the show. I know I've said this.
You always tan very well.
I've said
well.
This for a long time, but yes. I really now,
yes.
No doubt, I am the blackest man on the show.
You don't only get a tan, you hold on to a tan.
Yeah.
I mean, you hold on to a tan. You'll have that tan for a couple of weeks.
My goal was to get skin cancer in 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was out there every day. My wife
nice
and my
work.
Kid were putting on the sunblock 30.
Donnie Melanoma.
I said, no way. Bring it on.
Yes, George Hamilton, there is a tan there.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
If I'm going to die of cancer, let me die of cancer from having a great tan.
And you always, are those permanent stripes that you have where your sunglasses go?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that just tan?
No. Nope. That's a stripe.
Is that from, but it's from wearing sunglasses,
constantly,
right?
Constantly wearing sunglasses.
It's weird.
In the pool, in the ocean.
Well, you've got, you know, I tell you, the place is you. Obviously, you're walking on air.
Christ, I loved it. And yes, we did go to Stingray City. We went snorkeling there.
Oh, yeah, that place is neat. Did you get to pick them up and hand feed them and all that?
Yeah, did all that. Got back to nature, did all that. Tell you about that.
Did you guys rent a town car there?
No, let me just wait and tell you about the car we rented.
Yeah. I was just going to chime in. Anytime you do something, I'm trying to one-up you, and I have to tell you, you went to Stingray City, but I fed some ducks.
Hello. Not in Mike's show.
Hi.
Hi.
Glad you guys are back.
Thank you, my friend.
Missed you.
Well, thank you. We do appreciate that. Thank you.
Just wanted to let you know.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
He sounded a little bit like Richie. Monsieur, hey, what are you looking at?
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Oscar.
Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you, Oscar.
Thank you. I called originally about The Sopranos, you know, knowing you were on vacation. I wanted to make sure you caught that show and... just welcome you guys back, and thanks for putting me on the air.
You're very welcome. Yes, that's
hemorrhaging spongolics.
Let that just illustrate how pathetic I am. That when we arrived in the Cayman Islands,
mm-hmm.
we got there in enough time to go to the beach and to go to have dinner, but I made sure we were back in the room
good.
At 9 o'clock on Sunday night to watch The Sopranos, and as a matter of fact, I also made sure we were back in the room last Monday night at 8 o'clock. Do you know why? Because King of Queens reran our episode.
Oh. I happened, pathetically enough, to have stumbled on it. I don't know.
I swear to God,
I was in vacation mode. I was like, but when it was on, I tuned in like halfway through it. I got a chance to see the second scene where you walk across in front of the booth, and then it's a shot over the shoulder with me doing my acting job, realizing once again how
we are pathetic.
But realizing how much more we got than the second time we went out there,
sure,
you know,
yes.
Once again really realizing how we were screwed in the last scene.
Well, I was reading the USA Today. And because when you're in a foreign area, you're starved for anything mm-hmm. that you can read that's current.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading USA Today, and I was actually so bored, I was reading the TV listings. I was sitting on the beach reading the TV listings last Monday, and it said, King of Queens, 8 o'clock, Thanksgiving gone bad.
Uh-huh.
And I said to Frida, hey, guess what? Is this fantastic?
That is kind of cool.
We're on vacation.
Right.
And I'm going to be on national television tonight. That means whatever we do, we have to be back in the room tonight
sure.
at 8 o'clock to watch King of Queens.
That is very cool. It was cool to see that on vacation.
And so, you know, I drugged my family in from all of the fun activities we were having, and I made them sit around and just watch King of Queens.
You know, seeing it compared to some of the other episodes, it's not a bad episode, really, compared to some of the ones that I've seen recently. I liked the one that we were in. It was one of my favorites. I wonder why.
Hello. Hello, Bobby. Bobby.
Bobby?
Bobby?
Oh.
All right, I tried. Hello, Terry.
Yes.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you.
Last week, Mike, we got to relive your experience with Dennis Murphy on that baseball bet you made last year.
Yeah.
It was one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Well, you know, a couple of people told me that was on Best Of. That,
yeah.
You know, Dennis is the saga of Dennis coming to my home, and I only wish that I'd been in town so I could have heard that. Because
yeah.
I certainly would have wanted to run right out and invite Dennis to come to my house again.
I was wondering, are you guys going to make a bet this year?
You know, we generally do bets when they occur naturally.
Like the last bet that we almost got into was Aaron Brockovich, whether it would be nominated for an Academy Award.
But we decided that's so far off in the future.
Yeah.
That's not even worth betting on.
Better to do one that, you know, is relatively recent.
You know, maybe something will unfold with the baseball season. Because the good thing about our baseball bets is that, you know, it takes 6 months to play out. But
right.
I'm not up for another Maguire-Sosa bet, are you?
No, and I'll be honest with you. I know that I've been talking a lot about the Red Sox in the World Series. I happened to look at the USA Today and read the Red Sox pitching lineup. And the fact that they have picked up Pete Shorrock again, I am not prepared to make any kind of bets about the Red Sox. All that stuff I said about them in the World Series, screw them.
Okay, all right.
Forget it.
All right.
Welcome
back to reality.
I had a wake-up call. There's not a chance.
Okay. So you guys won't be having a baseball bet this year, then?
But if they, you know, I want everybody to know that if they happen to get to the World Series, you know, I'll put on my uniform.
Listen, we might have a baseball bet. If something happens, we generally average 3 to 4 big bets a year.
I wanted to say also, I hope the Yankees win this year. Okay? Just want to go on record for saying that, okay?
All right. All right, Mr. WNEW.
Okay, there you go.
Gotcha.
Okay, you go Yankees.
Just let the bets occur naturally. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Paul. Hey, welcome back, you fat bastards.
Hey, you bastard.
How you doing?
Doing fine.
Hey, I had a question for you.
You have a what for us?
In your family.
Pardon me?
Hey, your wife wears a pants in your family, right?
Hey, you wear the pants in your family, right?
Yeah, man.
What's wrong with you?
Huh?
What? Come on, speak English.
I'm speaking.
Christ, I just spent a week in a foreign country where they speak the language better than you do. Hold on, Mike has a message for you.
Wow, welcome back.
That was that's a Myrtle Beach story right there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But that microphone doesn't smell like lemons now. Got rid of him, though, didn't I?
Well, right. Now I'm officially back in the mood. Cheers.
Cheers.
That's three of you.
Okay.
All right, enough with that. Enough with those phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
We're back. We will, of course, pepper our broadcast with your telephone calls. Oh, let me tell you something happened, actually, before we left on vacation.
Yes.
Two things involving the Jackal, Ken Stevens.
Ah, the Jackal.
Now, as you know, I'm not happy about the fact that about a year ago, Ken moved into my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
He lives about a mile and a half from me, and thankfully we live way out in the middle of nowhere, and we never see him, and generally he never sees us.
Okay.
I mean, you know, my wife will call his wife, but I never see them. Well, it was, I guess, a week ago Saturday, the day before we were going to leave on vacation, and I was just getting in the car to go pick my kid up, and as I backed out of the driveway to turn around, I noticed the car down at the end of my driveway, a red Porsche, and it was just like parked in front of my house.
Weird.
Yeah, and you know how I am. I'm kind of.
Oh,
like,
I know. Sure.
I'm like G. Gordon Liddy, like that. If I see someone by my house, I actually will walk down to their car or drive down to their car.
Did you bring the water cannon with you?
And tell them, yeah, unfortunately, I'm not likely. I don't have guns. All I have are those either Nerf guns,
right,
or like one of those big water cannons.
Yeah, the water cannon. But with, you know, on top of the truck, like they used to use in the Soviet bloc.
So I'm unarmed, as always, and I inch my car down the driveway. And as I inch my car down the driveway, this car starts inching its way up my driveway. And I think, oh, great, this is just what I need. So I pull up next to this car, and I roll the window down, and I go, hey, excuse me, can I help you? And then he looks up and takes his sunglasses off, and it's Ken.
Ah!
Ken, at my house.
Why?
Just
how weird, how sick, gross, weird is that?
Just wanted to say hi.
He, like, dropped over?
Yes, he and Roz just came over. Yes, I mean, it was awkward, man.
Uninvited?
Yes, the general manager.
Your wife hadn't made a call, maybe?
No, my wife was out speaking of getting her bikini wax.
Oh, my God.
For our trip. Oh, and about that, I got to tell you something about Frida's bikini wax.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she got the landing strip. Oh, no. Boo.
Way to go, Frida.
Boo. Boo, I hate the landing strip.
Way to go.
I cannot, I cannot wait for it to grow back the normal way.
Oh, man.
I hate the landing strip. That's the first thing I noticed as soon as she was taking her clothes off.
Sure.
The first night, I said, what? What are you? I said, did I give you permission?
Like it's your property.
Well, well, isn't it? I should plant a flag there. You know, plant it of me.
You didn't like it, huh?
No. Well, I didn't like it so much that I didn't visit it.
Sure you did.
You know, but...
Yeah.
But,
it's kind of cool.
No, I don't like that
look. It shows attention down there.
I don't like that look at all.
All right.
So what I said to Ken and Roz was, they pulled up and said, hi, we're just out driving around, wanted to come by and say hi. And I said,
you know what happened, I think. They got caught.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Haven't they been to your house before?
Yeah, but like 3 years ago.
Okay, so maybe they go, where do they live? And they're out driving around. And I think he lives down here.
I don't know.
Drive by. And then they got caught.
So I said, hi, how are you? He says, hi, what are you doing? I said, I have to go pick up Bart. And then Roz, you know, Ken's wife, soon to be the widow Stevens, she said, where's Frida? And so Frida's out getting her bikini area waxed so we can go on vacation. And then there was just a brief moment of awkwardness.
Sure. Where you know, they're going to come up and wait for you to come back home?
I don't know, and I'm waiting for him to back his car down the driveway so I can go. So finally I said, well, listen, I've really got to be going now. And it's like at that point, the light bulb went off again.
Right. Oh, okay. Gotcha. So do you think there's a possibility that they just got, they were just driving by to check you out and they got caught red-handed?
Maybe so. Either
you
way.
Think they'd actually, if you had been in the house, they would have driven up the driveway, knocked on the door and said, hi, we're in.
I can't imagine.
That just doesn't even seem like
Kevin. I'd rather have a poacher. I'd rather have a peddler. I'd rather have the goddamn Jehovah's Witnesses come back to my house than wake up again and see. And listen, how sickening is this to see Ken driving a Porsche?
That is sick.
Right? Driving a brand new red Porsche.
A brand new one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bright really? Red. And, sure. You know, as if driving a Porsche doesn't draw enough attention to mm-hmm. you. It's bright friggin' red. Mm-hmm. So I got rid of them and I went out and I did my errands. And as it turns out, Saturday night we went out to eat, just this little casual place by where we live. And the waitress, Martha, a friend of ours who goes to the church we go to, she came by and she says, hi, how you guys doing? You haven't been here in a while. And she's bringing us her drinks and she said, how's that handsome manager of yours? And I said, who? And she said, Ken.
Handsome?
And I said, wait a minute.
Ken
Stevens? She said, yeah, he comes in here all the time. God, he's a good-looking man.
What, is she using the wrong kind of cleaning supplies or what?
I said to her, I started laughing.
You
I said, we're talking about Ken Stevens, skin tags. Kind of looks like Cheech Marin, maybe a little bit like the Jackal, like one of those guys that blew up the World Trade Center.
Right.
She said, no, Ken's a very handsome man.
Cheech Marin is the perfect with a full beard.
Mm-hmm. She says that Ken goes in this place all the time. Not only has Ken gone in there with his wife, Ken brings his parents in there all the time.
Really?
Yes.
Now, I'd like to get a look at Grandpa Stevens. That would be, that'd be like Grandpa Munster.
Hold on. Let me give my wife one of them, because she said something funny about how she tells him how handsome he is all the time.
And he just accepts it like it's a fact?
Yeah, and then she said something like that she was going to call the show one day to tell us how handsome Ken is.
How handsome he is.
That'd yeah. be good. And then she said that that's what he lives in the most fear of, is that she'll call us and tell us how handsome she thinks he is.
Of course, because you know his little fantasy life will be revealed here.
Okay, hold on.
He's so handsome. Well, she's just going for a tip.
Well, no,
he probably lights her up, you know,
sure.
And you know, and she is like, "Hello, handsome."
Ken? I mean, you know, if you really want to stretch it, you could say, "Well, he's nice,
mm-hmm.
he's affable,
right.
he's pleasant." But listen, you could stare at that guy for 24 hours, and handsome,
hello.
Honey.
Yeah, sweetie.
Honey, the words that Martha used to describe Ken in the restaurant.
She said he was handsome. I mean, that was the word, handsome. And she said that she had told him that she wanted to call up. And he said, oh, no, please don't. They wouldn't let me. They would never let me live it down. But, you might.
Handsome.
Right, I'm telling you.
Well, I think we have a new name for our general manager. His name will be Handsome Ken Stevens.
Yeah, I know.
Handsome Ken.
Problem.
That's right.
Handsome Ken.
That's his poker name.
We just about bust a gut. We spent the whole next hour at dinner just laughing. Every time that this waitress would come by, we just look at her and we go, you think Ken is handsome? And she says, oh, yes.
Handsome Ken Stevens.
Oh, yes. And going in all time, bringing his mom and dad in there.
Yeah. Oh, who are in his? Does she call his father handsome too?
No.
Handsome Grandpa Stevens.
When Ken wheels him in. I can only imagine how old Ken's parents are.
If you base it on the, you know, it's like dog years, isn't it? I mean, Ken looks older than he is, and
yeah.
his father would probably look older than he is.
And Ken waited until he was about 50 to have a kid.
That's right.
So if you go on that plan,
see, no, not technically mid-40s probably because.
Right.
Ken looks like he's in his mid-50s now.
Well, then maybe Ken's dad would be only 90 instead of being 100, as I was thinking. But I wonder if Ken's dad has big, hideous skin tags.
Probably.
Yeah, but, honey, did you think she was serious about that?
Oh, that's not the first time she said that to us. Or maybe it was just when I was in there. I mean, she's told me before how handsome he is.
I don't envy you guys having him in the neighborhood. That's got to be a little scary.
How would anybody know who Ken Stevens is anyway? I mean, do you think he goes into this
restaurant?
You think he goes into this restaurant?
He probably walks into that restaurant, says a table for two, just to mention, what's the waitress's name?
Martha.
Tell Martha handsome Ken Stevens is here.
You know what? I got to call. You know what? I got a bunch of occasions, but I got to call Ken right now and just bust him on that. Where's? Can you find out where he is, Robbie?
And honey, how long until your hair grows back?
Should have been. You know, that's the way they do the bikini waxer. That's not, you kind of neglected me this past week, and I know, I thought it was because of Bart, but it wasn't because of that, was it?
No, come on, please. I tried to hump you constantly.
I know, Bart has an aversion to us being alone.
Yeah, my son, for whatever reason, you know, you would think he'd be happy that his parents actually like each other, unlike many of his young friends. You know, their moms and dads are constantly
separate but equal,
teetering on the edge.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You would think he would be happy, but mm-hmm. he pretty much spent the entire vacation making sure that Frida and I were never alone.
Really?
And never alone long enough to procreate.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
He's at the age where you'd... You know, where he'd probably be venturing off or something.
No, he would just hang around the room to make sure we didn't do anything. But as a matter of fact, one time, he was gone long enough that we were able,
right.
you know, to fulfill our marital vows.
Uh-huh.
And then one time, I just sent him on an errand.
Right.
I said, hey, listen, go down to the gift shop and see if USA Today's in it. Also, get me a couple of razors and, well, I think Mommy needs some hairspray. Why don't you go down and... And he ran like the wind. I mean, I didn't even have my wife's top off before we heard... Hey, why is the door locked?
Oh, no.
It was him outside.
Oh, my God.
Really, you don't need that much time, but we didn't know to jump on it right away.
Righto.
Kenny's where all the beautiful people are, New York City.
New York. All right, I'll call him.
Very good.
All right, Jiggy. And about the bikini wax, you know, if it makes you feel better, I can let you take an eyebrow pencil and draw in the prescribed area. That's okay.
That's something. You make a video of that. That'll be our next Christmas project.
Frankly, that would make me feel more comfortable.
Okay, to the no-touch zone and the okay-to-wax zone.
You can buy a Merkin.
Right.
Or, you know, if I get that, you're giving away electrolysis, we could kind of arrange it that way.
No, whatever, honey. Just let it go back. Let it go back to the way it was.
Yeah, no, I like having somebody else take care of it.
It was quite a shock. Quite a shock
right,
seeing you
goodbye,
like that.
Stevie.
All right, goodbye. Love you. Yeah, but I'm guessing she loves me, too.
I think so. Well, she called you Sweet Pea, which I am not accustomed to hearing her call you that.
Oh, I went through.
She obviously had a good vacation.
I went through the obligatory day with them too when I got mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
When I got mad at them because I didn't think that they appreciated enough the fact that I was.
Can I help you?
Yes, Ken Stevens, please.
Mommy.
But I didn't think that Freedom Bart were appreciating the fact that I had laid out for this vacation.
Right.
But like it'd been like 5 days and no one had said yet, "Thank you, Dad."
Mm-hmm.
So I just had myself a little hissy fit about it.
Yeah, good. Sure. You have every right to.
Just for most of the
day. The exact same way.
For most of the day.
You work very hard for your family. You provide them with these wonderful trips, and, you know, they should say thank you.
Yes, Ken, please. Ken Stevens.
He's actually gone for the day.
Hey, that's not bad. That must be nice.
Boy, I tell you, what's he going to, leaving at, what, 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
He was gone even before that.
Oh, my God.
This is Don and Mike. Do you know where he went?
Actually, no. I didn't even know he left until I walked past his office and the door was shut.
Oh, man. He's probably going out to one of the, salons to look more handsome.
Can I ask you a question, really, off the record? We don't know who you are. We haven't met you yet. You don't have to give your name.
Uh-huh.
Do you find Ken to be handsome?
Not really.
There you
Thank
go.
You.
Thank
Good
you
answer.
For the very quick answer. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well,
now, there's a real genuine answer we just got. Oh, not really.
I mean,
that's like saying, of course not.
Right. We will bring that up with Ken on another show.
Good. Hope that when we're up in New York that he's up there, too, so we can call him in, maybe do it live. Because I think we're talking about his handsome fact. We ought to be looking at him when we're doing that.
Huh? Handsome Ken Stevens. Listen, let's start today's show with a caller 100. There were the toe-tapping touchstones. Hello, trusted friends. Like little sperm swimming upstream.
Look at those touchstones.
The toe tap and touchstones. Time for caller 100. Prize package selected especially for you. And a shot to have us pay your rent or mortgage.
Oh, boy.
Now listen, because the contest is sponsored now, let me give you the parameters here. We pay rents or mortgages up to $3,000.
Wow, right.
We figure if you pay over $3,000 in a month and run a mortgage, frankly,
you're rich anyway.
You're too rich to play a radio contest.
Sure.
So if you want a shot, be the 100th caller right now. Call Toya. Good luck. We'll be right back.
This is the...
fishing before. So can he and I take turns with my fishing pole?
All right. Better still, I'll let him have one of my poles, and then you can both have one.
Gee, thanks, Sheriff. You can let him use your pole, Paul? The big one?
Sure. But you all got to get some sleep. I know. One of you come in my room.
Okay, Paul.
No, wait a minute. You go, Trey. You stay in your own bed.
Trey, get a sleep in your bed, Paul?
Now, don't worry about it. He'll sleep first thing in the morning. I'll bring him in as soon as he dozes off. Go to sleep.
Night-o. Their experience.
Oh,
the team.
Right.
Don and Mike.
That's right.
Andy likes little boys.
Yeah, how about that?
Oh, no. Take him up to his bedroom.
Pure, innocent program. Look what happened to it.
Caller 100 time. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. I am caller 100.
Right. Yes, you are. What's your name?
My name is John.
Hi, Johnny. Where are you calling from?
From Annapolis.
Johnny, caller 100. Been gone a week. The promotion budget has been restaffed. Restocked. Congratulations, you won a case of Sun-Kissed Oranges.
You went all out for me, buddy. I appreciate that.
Sun-Kissed Oranges are available at your local grocery store.
Oh, man, we're giving away produce. I don't think we've ever given away produce before.
Don't you guys have some chicken or something?
It's the healthiest food we've ever given away, Sun-Kissed Oranges.
Plenty of vitamin C. That's great. And, are we going to mail them to the guy?
Yes, we are.
Fantastic.
In an envelope.
That's good.
But wait, there's more. You've also qualified to have us pay your rent or mortgage. We will have our big free money show on the last Friday of this month, April. How much do you pay every month in rent or mortgage?
$1,800.
Ah, excellent.
That is so doable. Love to pay that for you. Please make sure you're listening to the last show of the month. That is the free money show, and I think we're shooting for paying 10 rents and mortgages this month.
Very good.
Out of everybody who wins a prize. So thank you for listening, my friend.
Thank you.
And yeah, oranges. That's right.
Oranges, naranjas.
Oranges, free oranges for you. Okay, So let me get to the vacation. So we're going to the Cayman Islands, and the reason that this was selected was because we had one time been on a boat where we were dropped off for a day there, and also because I read every John Grisham book,
right. Yes,
and virtually every John Grisham book includes the Cayman Islands,
mm-hmm.
And
the firm actually shot their scenes down there.
At the hotel we stayed at.
Mm-hmm. That's great. It's a beautiful place.
We stayed at the same hotel, the Hyatt Regency, down at Cayman Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? This is another thought I had on vacation. I mean, my mind was going a million miles an hour about just bagging and all and living down there. I must have read 3 John Grisham books, mm-hmm. like in 4 days.
Right.
I read his new one, The Brethren, then I read The Testament,
yep.
And I read the one that he did before that. And I like John Grisham and all, he's fine, but I find myself with him about halfway through one of his books thinking, Christ, I could write this.
Mm-hmm.
What he writes is it's terribly predictable.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot. That's the knock on him, that all his plots are similar. It's a formula.
Yeah, he doesn't use big words or anything, and I know about commas and about punctuation marks.
You read a lot, so you could probably write.
Yeah. So at one point, that's what I said to Frida. I said, you know what we'll do? What we'll do is we'll break off from society.
Yes.
You give me a computer, and these big blotchy spots on my skin.
Ooh, an allergy.
You have a seafood allergy.
Yes, I do. We woke up on, I guess it was, we went out to eat the first night we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Ran back to the room to watch The Sopranos. Got up the next morning, took my shirt off, put my swimming suit on. As we were walking out the door, Bart said, Dad, look at your back. And I stopped and I looked in the mirror, and on my back were all these, not welts, but these big, squishy, pus-filled areas, and then I looked.
Hey, had you been in the sun before that? Had you been on?
Looking by me, I'm sprawled out on this beach chair.
Looking at you like a leper.
Looking like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? And then when I got in the water, because I had them bad on my back, it was ridiculous. Bart said, Dad, everybody's looking at your back.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's looking at the sores.
What are they comparable to? I mean, you said they were filled with...
I don't know how to
describe
it.
There was goo in them?
They felt soft to the touch.
Okay, so they're like bumps, though. They weren't like really...
No, they
were...
they
come to a head?
They were big, as big as
this. I'm going to puke in a second. I'm asking for
more
information.
See how big this is? Like as big as a baseball?
Yeah, just a raised area with fluid in it, right?
Big spots like this, and they
almost were, like blisters?
Yeah, very angry-looking type spots, and I had them all over my chest, all over my back, my legs, my buttocks, and I could hit one right by the old nutsack.
Oh, my God.
So
and they just went away.
They went away the next day.
That's good.
Just woke up, examined myself, and they were gone.
So even the one on your sack?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
That's the first one I examined.
So you know what? Seafood to avoid now? You know which thing gave it to you?
No idea.
Oh, now, dear. Wait a minute. You don't know what you were eating?
Well, I had a million different things.
But, I mean, it was the day before, and you said it was the seafood appetizer.
But we had the seafood appetizer where they bring out 4 different things.
Oh, really?
And then I had dinner.
All right, well, it's very simple. What you do is you eliminate, process of elimination, what they served you, because this doesn't sound like food poisoning. This sounds like an allergic reaction.
Yes.
So you eliminate...
Oh, no, that's not the food poisoning. The food poisoning was a different meal.
That was a different meal.
That was a different meal.
What did... So they brought out different seafoods.
Yes.
Like, what were the different seafoods?
I don't know.
You don't remember.
You know, I'm not good with details.
Oh,
like
my
this.
God.
I don't know. Pretty much, if they put it on a plate in front of me...
Could it have been conch?
No, I didn't have any conch.
It could have been clams?
Wasn't clams.
Shrimp?
Wasn't shrimp.
But they brought out lots of good seafood you like.
Yes, I ate it. Are you kidding me?
Mussels?
Nope, not mussels.
Oysters, crabs, squid?
I'm not trying to be difficult.
I know you're not.
But it was none of those items.
Really?
Whatever it was, it caused the allergic reaction, but then the next day it was gone.
Okay.
And the other time that I got sick was when we went out and I had a steak mm-hmm. that had some kind of local spicy sauce on it.
Visine.
And the next morning, when I woke up...
Really?
Just let me tell you that I had to... I left a souvenir behind for the maid, and that was the underpants that I was wearing.
Yeah.
I woke up at
a little accident.
I woke up at about 4:30 in the morning and oh, my God.
That's food poisoning time right there.
I was making my way to the bathroom. It was like all of a sudden, I just lost control of my bowels.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
And I mean, it was just... That was it.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. There'll be something extra, and it is not a gratuity. Thank you for cleaning the room.
So that was the only real downtime, is that I had about 6 or 7 hours of real bad sick poops and throwing up.
Mm.
But then beyond that, things are great. Even the driving was great.
Did you go in the pool the day you had that?
Yes. I did. As soon as I felt better.
Ah, that's good.
I mean, I would have gone in earlier.
That's tough when you're ill and it's you know, it's warm and you want to be outside. Mm-hmm. That has to be a little tough.
It didn't stop my family from having a good time.
Of course not.
It did not stop them at all. As a matter of fact, that was the day that we were going to go snorkeling
mm-hmm.
to look at stingrays.
Right.
And I was just puking in the sick poops and laying in bed, and I had the chills, and I was like, oh, I feel awful. I feel like, oh, you must have food poisoning. Well, you know what? Our boat gets back at 1:30. We'll call to see how you're doing. Bye-bye. and they're out the door.
Right.
Other than that, things were nothing but great.
Well, that's good.
I drove on the wrong side of the road with the steering wheel on the wrong side.
Get anything?
Nothing I can talk about.
Nothing you want to talk about.
I didn't pull a Matthew Broderick. There was no particular manslaughter.
That's a good thing you didn't hit any people.
We did get in a slight... you know, there were lots of little arguments with my wife on this trip. Not mm-hmm. No major big one, but lots of little ones.
Little tiffs.
Yes, like on the way down there, when I said to her, you know what? Being as we're at this hotel where it's all-inclusive, the beach is there and the pool is there, I don't even think we need to rent a car. So we don't even have to get into the discussion about who's going to drive. And she said, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'd been there 2 days, and I was itchy to see what was doing. So I said, let's go rent scooters.
Cool.
Let's rent motor scooters. Well, we went, they were out of scooters, but the guy says, but I can rent you a car. And we looked at the car, and the name of the car is a Townie.
A Townie?
T-O-W-N-Y.
It sounds small.
Yes, it was like the crappiest little Russian-looking car that you've ever seen in your life. And... as we were signing up to rent this car for a day, the guy said, who's the driver? And I said, right here.
I'm the townie commissioner.
And I gave him my driver's license, and he said, will there be any other drivers? And I said, absolutely not. Frida was standing right there, and she said, excuse me? And I said, hey, there's no problem.
Right.
I can drive here. If I'm driving and you're not happy, you can take the wheel. She said, well, I can't take the wheel if you don't put me down on the list to be a driver.
Right.
I said, well, really, there's no need, since, you know, I like to drive, and mm-hmm. and I'd like the challenge of driving on the wrong side of the road. So we had a big fight in front of the guy, and she ended up putting her name on the thing, and mm-hmm. we got in the car, and we drove, and there was no problem. You know, she demanded...
Not that you can talk about.
She demanded... after the first trip into town, she demanded to drive for the rest of the trip.
Now, this is one area where, you know, I totally side with your wife. 100%. I understand exactly what she's going through.
You can understand a lot of the problems. I think most Americans find... If you go to a foreign country, first off... You know,
there's one problem. There's not a variety, but there's one problem. It's your total fearlessness. Your complete and total fearlessness where, hey, look, it's a cliff. Let's go faster.
You don't look to the right. You don't yield to the right, the cars are coming the other way. So you have to learn when you come to a turn or something to look left,
right?
Look to the right. And what I did a lot of times is just look to the right.
Had a lot of little traffic circles.
Yeah.
Oh, said, that's tough.
Looks clear. Let's go. And about the third time that we almost got hit,
that's
when she said, pull the car over.
Where you were just pulling out into the wrong lane of traffic with an oncoming bus or something like that.
And even though there were only three radio stations, I still managed to monopolize a lot of my time driving.
With constant button pushing.
Switching the stations.
It's, you know, Buzz has done it. I've done it. You know, we've driven with you. It's an interesting experience.
Uh-huh. So she decided that she was going to commandeer the car, which virtually ended my trips into town. Because I decided, well, you know, if I just had to be the passenger
with my wife,
forget that. And that has, there's a little payback on that coming up when I had to take my son out driving yesterday when he got his driver's license.
When you're on vacation, you don't look at it as transportation. You look at it as sort of an amusement park ride.
Well,
renting a car is kind of like just another
fun.
It's another attraction.
It's fun.
That's what it is.
It's fun. You get in a car and you just go.
Sure, in your townie.
Yeah, in the townie.
The only difference is, you know, usually in amusement parks they have that little cement track that you can
drive
on.
Rail. So we went out, we drove, we went to the shops. You know, I get incredibly bored. I get just as bored with shopping somewhere else as I do at home. It's like, you know, I can walk in a place and see that the place is loaded with nothing but junk and there's nothing we want in there. But no, my wife's got to go through every nook and cranny. And she got this thing where she has to haggle with the guy in the store that she can't just pay whatever the price is. She has to haggle. And she has to haggle over, well, okay, well, if that's $8, that $8 came in? Okay, well, what is that in American? And, you know, like, meanwhile, I'm getting ripped off left and right because I would go in a place and I'd buy something.
Yes.
And the guy would say, do you want this? I say, yes. He said, $8.
Mm-hmm.
I'd whip out a 20 American.
Right.
I give it to him. He gave me back like $2 Cayman. And I'd say, okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. And then I get out to the car for to say, how much change do you have? I go, look, $2. She said, no. Oh, you should have gotten like $9 back. I said, no. Who cares?
See, that's in there counting on that.
Right. You know, we're on vacation. Who cares? The next day, scuba diving.
Now, this is the part of the vacation I'm looking forward to hearing about because I, you know, I know that they are very specific about their training and all that.
Yes, you have to go through tedious, boring training. You know, it's not like you can
but
just...
But training you should pay attention to.
It's not like you can just throw on the tank, jump off the boat, go down, and scuba dive.
Right.
First off, you have to, although it's outside, you have a class you have to take.
Yeah, to get certified.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks because the guy's got a like a picture book. Mm-hmm. Like the class is like for people who are retarded because it's pictures. It's all pictures.
Okay, so you're not actually getting in the water at this point.
No, not yet. You have to go through all this stuff and take a test.
Wow.
Before you can even put the tank on and get into a swimming pool to see if you can do it or not.
Man.
So the guy is going through all this stuff and, you know, it's got like pictures of when you're climbing down the rope to get into the ocean, to go down 50 feet below, every 3 or 4 feet you should stop and you put your fingers on your nose like this and you blow out to decompress your ears.
How do you put your fingers on your nose if you're wearing a mask?
Well, you have a mask that has a squishy thing on the nose.
Oh, and you have to pinch your nose. I didn't even know that.
So what's happening is, as this guy is doing this, every time he flips a page over that has like 4 pictures on it, what I do is I immediately look at the pictures, read them, and then I would just stop paying attention.
And he knew that?
Yes. Mm. And he was one of these guys that had an accent.
Hello, mate.
And he like, no, his accent was more African.
You weren't paying attention, so you didn't memorize it.
No, I'm not sure where he was from.
Hello, Captain.
What's the bad Africa?
South Africa?
South Africa.
You mean South African like that, one of those accents there?
Yeah, like that.
Okay.
Okay, so he's going on.
Well, the only way I can do it is he always took like, I think it's a golfer, Ernie Els. Yes, he's great. Yes, it was just one blue dot on the tight list.
So the guy would start with that. Here are the tanks. And this is what you put in your mouth, and then on the way down, every 3 feet, you must stop, and you must pressurize your nose. Meanwhile, I'm 20 steps past him, because I'm reading ahead on these little flashcards that he's got. And
you blow out when you squeeze your nose?
On the way down, every 2 or 3 feet, they stop the entire group. And see, I've already read the card where it says, basically, even if you don't know this,
they're going to make you stop anyway.
They're going to make you stop to do this. And I've already noodled all of this through while the guy's going through this 3-hour discourse. You know, I'm thinking, I'm wasting 3 hours of beautiful sunshine to sit here so a guy can show me pictures, when really you could just give me the book, say, read it, and then take the test.
Right.
So the guy, every, not every 5 minutes, every 15 minutes or so, he would stop and he would signal to me and he'd say, are you following this? And I say, yes. Yeah, of course I'm following this, because he's going at...
Meanwhile, you're looking around, your head's on a swivel. You're looking at the birds, the trees, the sun.
He was stopping me because he was going at such a snail's pace that I could not continue to keep up with this, and I'm looking for anything to keep me going.
This is the man, probably, who's... Is he going to be on the dive with you?
Yes, he was our instructor.
The man who could possibly save your life. You want to be good to this man.
He's the instructor. So then he thought he got me at the very end. We sat through 3 hours of this, and he says, now you have a written test.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pass out the test, and then what we're going to do is each question is on another one of these gigantic retarded flip cards, and you're going to fill out your questions one at a time.
Your answers, you mean?
Your answers.
Okay.
You fill out the answers to the question one at a time, then you will pass them forward, and if you pass this test, then you can move on to the next part. Well, as soon as he passed out the test, I just looked at the questions, and within like 30 seconds, I went, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, 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 yes, 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 no, 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 yes. And before he was even done explaining how he was going to tediously take us through this test,
right,
I had already filled it out.
That had to piss him off.
Already filled it out.
That really had to get him angry.
And it did.
I can imagine.
And it did, because he was just going through making sure everybody had a pen.
Right.
When he got to me and he says, do you have a pen? I said, yeah, I got it right here. And then he looked at my paper and he said, you've already filled out the test. I said, yes. Yes, I'm already done. I'm your best student. I'm already done.
Did you say I'm your best student?
Yeah.
You say you're working him a little bit. You didn't like this guy, did you?
Not tremendously. Not tremendously.
There's the truth.
He said, wouldn't you rather take the test with everybody? We go through one at a time, and I will go through the cards. And if there are any questions, I said, no, I'm positive I got an A on this test. He said,
I got an A.
Really? And I said, yes. And then it was at that point, I was waiting for him
to challenge you.
But he didn't, because, you know, it's one of those deals where he's,
you know, you're the customer.
I'm the guest, and he's working for the hotel. What I was hoping he would say was...
He wanted to hold you up to ridicule.
What I wanted him to say was, let's grade it right now.
For the whole class to see, you were open for that.
And if you didn't get 100%, you can't scuba dive. But if you did get 100%, I'm going to let you go for the rest of the day.
But if you didn't, then I'm throwing you into the pool without a tank.
Right. So he said, all right, well, you can change your answers if you like as we're going through one at a time.
Okay.
And I said, no need. I took the test.
So you at this point are kind of indicating to him you want to leave.
Well, I want to get on to the next phase. We've
right.
been sitting outside in the boiling sun for 2.5 hours while this guy's going through flips. It's like win, lose, or draw. it was like that. He had a big easel like that with these flip cards.
Were you 100% correct on all your
answers? Yes, I was.
There you go.
Hey. What I did was I just handed it to him. I said, there you go. I'll just sit here and wait while you administer the test to everybody else. But
what about the other class, your classmates, your peers? Were they concerned at this point?
The only peers who were concerned were Peer Frida and Peer Bard.
Oh, really?
Who were both dying of embarrassment while I was doing this.
were they the other ones in the class? Or?
No, there was seven people. Seven people. So, you know, they were both shooting me the hairy eyeball.
Daddy.
And he takes the test, and they said, what are you doing? And I said, come on, this test is for idiots. I said, you should take it now, too. I said, the Freedom Bar, take it now. Do you want to know the answers? I said, no, we don't want to. I said, go through. It's common sense. Just, you could fill it out without having taken this course. You could fill out these questions. Then we can go do something.
Mm-hmm.
But no. So while they're taking the test, which took an additional 30 minutes, as
it turned out, questions like, are you supposed to breathe without the mouthpiece in your mouth?
One of the questions was, it was almost like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the $100
right.
questions.
Okay.
One of the questions was, what is the golden rule of scuba diving? And the answers were...
Multiple choice?
Yes. The answers were, observe sea life, never go farther than 200 feet, never go down without...
Robbie. You made him turn around on that one, Rob.
Never go down without some piece of apparatus, or... Jesus, what was the fourth one? I forgot it now. It was the one that was the golden rule. I don't know what it was.
Ah!
But do you have like a certificate now that says you're certified?
Yeah.
You don't know
the golden rule of scuba diving.
It was, I think...
Listen to this. You really don't know.
I think it was
don't
hold your breath.
Don't hold your breath
because if you hold your breath, your lungs will expand, and when you get down, if you hold your breath, your lungs will expand, and there's a chance that they'll get real small. I don't remember exactly what it is, but that's the golden rule.
Don't hold your breath.
Don't hold your breath.
You don't have to because you got that thing in your mouth.
Right, but people flip out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people flip out and get claustrophobic, and I got a little claustrophobic.
I could no more go scuba diving. I would hate it.
So we get done with this part, and he's giving the test to everybody else, and at this point, I'm just laying back on the chaise lounge, right? Freedom Bard are pissed at me. All the other people in the class are pissed at me. But I'm just laying back, and I'm waiting for them, like third graders, to go through these questions where he's going like, okay, now, on the way down, every 3 feet, we are supposed to stop and observe the fish, have some air, clean our masks, decompress our noses and our ears. What do you think the answer is? A, B, C, or D? This is how the questions are being answered. Okay, and asked. And everybody else, you know, is sort of like real studious, like, oh, gee, what is the answer? Meanwhile, he's only said 1,000 times that every 3 feet you have to stop and blow on your nose to decompress your ears, right?
Meanwhile, he's hoping that on your real dive, you're going to be, like, attacked by a moray eel. You know, yes, go ahead. Go into the dive over there, Mr. Geronimo. Go into the wreck. Go into the hold of the ship.
Oh, we did get to see a ship that had sunk.
A wreck. You dove a wreck. That's great.
We dove down to a wreck. So while this was going on, while the test was being administered, while I was not paying attention, I did get the spot, the only celebrity sighting during the entire time we were there. And it was a godsend that I didn't have to take the test with the rest of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to leave, and I stood this far away from Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Ooh.
In a bikini.
Baby.
In a bikini.
Sizzle.
I stood behind her in line to get
How'd
a
she look?
Towel. I didn't even need a towel. Can I tell you the truth?
Yeah.
Little cottage cheesy around her ass.
Oh, really?
Just a little bit.
Well, you were up close.
You know, and she did this move. You know this move that girls always do when they get out of a pool?
And they take the thumb on the bikini bottom?
Yeah, and they like pull it out of their ass.
Sure.
They pull their bikini out of their ass.
Right.
She was just standing in line. She hadn't even been in the pool. She was waiting for a towel. And she was just kept doing that, kept flipping the things on the outside of her bikini bottom.
And you were just
standing right behind her, just
staring.
Just staring.
She looked at the bikini, looked good on her, though?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It looked very good on her.
Ooh, that's a good celebrity song.
Looked very good on her.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It looked so good on her.
All right.
So I got to see her and got to see her cheesy butt.
Well, that's better than the scuba class.
Yeah, so we went back. Scuba class was over. Everybody passed the test.
Congratulations, everyone.
So then he says, now what we're going to do, now you get your weight belts. So what they do is they strap these weight belts on you, and they put the scuba tank on you. And what you have to do is you get into the swimming pool. And first thing you have to do...
I'm just picturing you. I'm sorry. I'm just picturing you doing this, and that's just amusing.
The first thing you do is go down to the deep end of the pool, 10 feet deep. And what you do is...
Hold your breath.
Yes, everybody. You ever been to these exercises where you have to go down to the bottom of the pool, you're on your knees... And he's going to go through a bunch of exercises with you, like what's the sign if you're out of air?
Okay, so you have the tank and everything there.
He's got the.
Is there any technique involved in breathing into?
Just breathe in and out.
Just breathe in and
out. That's it. That's all there is to it. It's the simplest thing ever.
Okay.
And that's how I went into this. I went into this thinking
it might be more complex than it was.
No, I went in thinking this is the easiest thing in the world because all you do is breathe through your mouth. And other than that, you get to swim around and fly like you're Superman.
Hell,
right?
Our audience has been doing that for a million years.
So, as soon as we got into the pool, the first thing that I noticed, we got in the pool, as soon as I got underwater, I got claustrophobic. Big time.
Even in the pool?
As soon as my head went underwater, the first thing I did was bolt back up to the top and took the thing out of my mouth and went, and he came up.
He had to love that.
This he loves. Okay?
Oh, I'm sure he loves it.
So he swims over and he goes, what's the first rule? I said, don't hold your breath. What's the first rule about when you're in the water? Never take the resuscitator out of your mouth. Never. Because if you go down 50 feet, you're not going to be able to jump right back up to the top and breathe the wonderful air.
So you took it out of your mouth before you...
Of course I did.
So you did, like, one of the big things you're going to do wrong.
I did the worst thing.
Pulled it out of your mouth in panic.
Immediately.
That's too funny.
Never think because he's got to be loving it at this point, though.
I was...
help me, oh God, help me.
I was just a little flipped out. It's a little claustrophobic.
I'm surprised that in the pool that would happen.
I was surprised also, but this is how I felt.
Because I would think that would happen when you really got
When I actually ended up going in the ocean, everything was fine. But in the pool, you know, the first thing you get under there, and I've never breathed into one of those jobbers before. Mm-hmm. You get in there and you... And I looked at my gauge because I'm thinking, am I breathing too fast? Am I breathing too slow? I got flipped out because when you breathe out, all the bubbles come out. Mm-hmm. And I was looking around at other people. I didn't see as many bubbles as was coming out for me. And I realized
you're hyperventilating.
It's because I'm down there like this. And I'm looking at my air. And then I looked up at the top and I see the pool up there. And it was like, I just said, oh, Christ, I can't take this.
Does the air, it's compressed air, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's oxygen.
Right.
Does it give you any kind of a lift when you're breathing that stuff, artificial air?
No. No, it was...
No difference whatsoever.
Just like breathing real air. Uh-huh. So three separate times I flipped out.
What?
Three separate times. The first time I went up...
He's got to just hate you by the end of this.
So the third time, he called me aside, and he said, all right, we had our bit of fun on the test. And we had our bit of fun here today. He thought I was doing this as a goof.
Right.
He said, you've got to go down on your knees with the rest, and you've got to make all of... What you had to do was... He had to come by, and you had to give him the sign.
We had our fun.
If you were out of air, you had to do like this. This was a sign. Like, you know, in the NFL, when a guy made a touchdown, and he's cutting a guy's throat, that's the sign that you're out of air.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something wrong with your ears, you had to point to your ears.
Right.
And you had to show him your monitor, your oxygen monitor. And you had to take your mask off and put it back on. They had all these tests that you had to do under the water.
Now, when you take it off and put it on under the water, how does it get... How does it get pulled up in water?
What you do is, on purpose, you lift up the front lip to let a little water in.
Right.
To about a half inch of water, so it's almost to your eye.
Yeah.
Then... On purpose, you do this on purpose, because water might get in your mask when you're way under the ocean. Then what you do is you...
That's funny. You're just cracking me up. I would love to see a videotape of you doing it. You're the great pupil. The apt pupil.
What you do is you open up the bottom and you...
Right.
You blow everything out.
Okay.
You just blow all of the water out, and then you immediately, because it's like suction, it goes right back on your face.
Okay.
But he had all these tests that you had to do, and the third time that we went down, I went down again, and I panicked again.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to the top, and he came over, and he said, okay, now we've had all fun. Now, if you don't go down and you don't do all of the stuff, you're not going to be able to go out on the dive. And it was at that point that I thought he finally saw... that I was not being a smartass with him, that I was really flipped out by
this. Sure.
And it was at that point that he turned his back on me.
Oh, really?
It was like a little payback.
Yeah, right.
A little payback. I expected that what I would get from this guy would be, oh, now listen, this happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Come down with me. We'll handle it. You know what he said? One more chance. And if you can't do it on the next one, I'm sorry you're not going to be able to go on the dive. Okay? Mask on, resuscitator in. Let's go.
Ooh, wow.
So, it was payback time for taking the test.
So, did you have, the last time you went down, did you have the feeling of panic again?
I did.
But you just fought it off?
Just stayed with it, got under, and after we were under for about 5 minutes, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
No problem at all. He had us do all of these various little exercises in the pool. Then we came up, and he said, okay, that's it. Now, go enjoy yourselves for 3 hours. The boat will be leaving at 2 o'clock today.
Oh, so they do the whole thing in one day.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a whole day of
preparing
for the dive and stuff. You know, it would seem to me that if you were going to panic, you'd panic when you were in the real ocean, when you got down deep.
Not me.
Better to panic in the pool, though. Better to get that out of the way in the pool, I would think.
So we had all day of classes, and we had a little bit of a break, and then you go out. And the actual time that you actually spend diving is only 30 minutes.
Okay.
So you waste all day with this class and in the pool.
Are you able to go out again, or is that
You could go out as often as you like.
Okay.
As it turns out, we only went out the one day.
Okay.
So now it's time to do it. Now,
I mean, scuba diving is something that I've always thought I might want to try it, but it seems a little freaky.
It's cool. Oh, before we do a break, I have to tell you, because now I'm getting to the good stuff, when we actually do go scuba diving.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the boat, we're going out to the point where we're going to be going down 50 feet below the water level to go scuba diving.
So it's not a terrifically deep dive.
The first one was 50 feet. Okay. Then if you want to go a second time, it was 100 feet. Then after that, it was 200 feet. And then after that, you take some boat like 3 hours away where you can just go a tremendous amount down.
Right.
Very deep.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there was a guy who was in our group. The guy who didn't take the test, the guy was already certified, and he was Mr. Type Friggin' A. I mean, I know that I'm Type A, but this guy, I'm small case A. This guy was giant case A.
Okay.
This guy was peppering people with questions the whole time. Like, I've been to the Paradise Cove dive before, and I believe that we went down to 2,800 feet, and I really wasn't satisfied with that before. Do you think we could go up to 3,200 feet this time? Say my oxygen tank will only last for 65 minutes, but I'd like to stay down for at least 75 minutes. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, these flippers that I have, blah, 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 blah. This guy's constantly talking, and he's got his kid there. His little 6 or 7 year old daughter,
okay,
who he's getting to take the test so that she can go down.
That's a little young for that whole thing.
So, when we finally got out on the boat, we're about a mile away from shore. They say, this is the spot. And they put us in our weight belts, and you strap on the tank. You do everything, and you stand at the end of the boat, and you just take one step, and boom, you're in the water. And then there's a rope that's attached to a big, not a rock, but like a big buoy on the bottom of the ocean.
The body of the diver from the previous day.
And what you do is you climb down the rope to get to the bottom of the ocean, and then from there you're on your own.
So you can actually freeform it around there?
Yeah, and we did.
Cool.
So what we did was Frida was first in the water, then Bart was second, I was third, and they brought us down about 15 feet where we had to wait for the second group of three people to get in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first guy gets in the water, no problem. Second guy, the type A guy, he gets in the water, no problem. The third one in the water is a little girl.
That's awfully young to do that.
Now, the little girl gets in the water, and all of a sudden, we see her legs going like this.
She's too young.
And we see her arms going like this.
Oh, the poor kid.
And she doesn't want to do it.
That is so young.
She breaks the Gardner rule. She gets right out. She goes right to the top and takes out her resuscitator. And the next thing you know, we see the dad, who's 10 feet down. He climbs up the rope, and we're watching this. Now, keep in mind, we're 15 feet below the sea level.
And Dad's probably trying to talk her back into the water.
No, we can see the water so clear. We're down there floating on this rope, looking up, going like this, and we can see the dad just screaming at the kid.
Oh, jeez.
You can see the dad like,
screw him.
And the little girl, you just see her legs going back and forth and back and forth. And you see the instructor, who's obviously between the two of them, trying to say, listen, either she comes down or she doesn't come down, but we have a limited amount of oxygen, so we've really got to get going.
I just don't understand. That seems awfully young for a kid.
So after 5 minutes, what they did was they took the kid and they put her back on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
The instructor and the guy came down, and the guy, as he's making his way down the rope, said something to me. Now, it's impossible to talk down there. Yeah, right. That's what I guessed he was saying. And I looked at him like this, like, you know, and then I found myself, I tried to say, well, kids will be kids, but it came out like this.
That's funny.
And meanwhile, the instructor's looking at me, and he's giving me the no, you're going to do something wrong here. Just don't bother talking to this guy. but because you can't speak,
yeah,
the guy had given us all of these very, very, very tough hand signs. And here's why they were tough.
You were supposed to memorize.
That if things, which I didn't.
Because you weren't paying attention.
If things were okay, you were supposed to give him this sign.
Right.
The okay sign.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to go up to the top, if you had a problem, you gave him the thumbs up. Right.
Yeah.
Well, my problem was, every time the guy came to me and he would give me the okay sign.
You gave him what we always do on this show, which we go, everything, say okay.
The thumbs up. And then he would grab me by the arm and start to take me up, and I go...
This had to be your best friend. Were you the most difficult person he ever had on the dive?
He told me I was great.
It was great.
He really did. Hold on, time out. We have more. When we come right back.
This is Cunny-rific, the Don and Mike Show.
I guess at some point, as we get done talking about the vacations and stuff, we'll open up the lines and we'll start getting women. for Friday's big messy garden show.
Yes, if you have a problematic garden area, this is just for you.
Friday's booze show. In the water.
You're like halfway down.
Not even halfway. We're 15 feet down.
Waiting for the other divers.
Waiting for the dad to get done yelling at the daughter.
Is he really yelling at her? That's
yeah.
And that's horrible.
The dad is one of these pricks that goes scuba diving all the time and came down with all kinds of contraptions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had a big-ass underwater camera.
Yeah, okay.
And he had a thing that looked like a radar detector. And he had like a sonar detector strapped around his waist.
And obviously he's forcing his kid to get involved in it too early.
And the problem is, because he's gone through the stuff with his kid, we've wasted 5, 6, 7 minutes of our oxygen time just waiting while he argues with the kid.
Well, that's too bad.
So we're making our way back down the rope, and the instructor checks everybody's oxygen, and we climb the rope all the way to the bottom of the ocean floor where there's a spot. And what we do is we all sit down. Now, keep in mind, very important, the guy has given us, in the many, many lectures we've received throughout the day, one of the biggest lectures we've gotten is when you get down there, two things. First, don't go off on your own.
Right.
Stay with your instructor.
Sure.
And second, try not to touch anything, because the coral that's down there has been down there and it's taken thousands and thousands of years to form, and that, you know, one touch and you can undo something that's taken.
You can destroy the entire ecosystem.
Thousands of years to
grow. And I can tell by the tone, somebody had to be Mr. Touch Touch.
Was it with my hands, with my feet?
By accident.
Totally by accident.
Well, okay. I mean, it's not like you did it on purpose.
Totally by accident, because...
But your foot can probably do a hell of a lot of damage.
When we got down there, I found it to be... And I've done a lot of crazy stuff. I've jumped out of an airplane. I've parachuted. This is the single best thing I've ever done.
Really?
Even better than jumping out of an airplane.
Wow.
Because when you get down there, man, it's like you're freaking Superman.
Can I ask you a question during that entire thing on the way down in the pool? Did the thing, sharks, ever come into your mind at all?
The guy said that a shark had not been spotted in that area for 5 years.
Wow.
And there was a sign if he saw a shark. This was the sign.
and then everybody was going to go up?
He puts his hands on the top of his head.
Like a fin.
Like a fin. That's the sign that there's a shark, and everybody go right to the top.
Okay.
And if there was an emergency and everybody had to go to the top, you don't have to worry about depressurizing your nose and stuff.
Not at that depth.
You're fine going up from 50 feet. Just go on up to the top and take it easy. But when you get to the top, still don't take your resuscitator out of your mouth.
Okay.
So we're down on the bottom of the ocean. We're all sitting on the ocean floor. Very cool. He's given everybody the check. Are you okay? Are you okay? He gives me the sign. The first time, like 8 times I did this, and he gives me the okay sign. I give him back the thumbs up sign, and immediately he takes my arm and starts to pull me up, and I go... I give him back the okay sign.
He's ready to kill you.
Because I'm happy to be down there.
He's hoping that they see a shark for the first time since 5 years.
I can't remember the fact that it's the okay or it's the thumbs up. Either way, I'm fine. That's what I'm letting him know. I'm fine. So,
by like pulling his arm out of its socket and now giving him the correct hand gesture.
So we get going, and he was taking us around very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him do something that I immediately wanted to try. He got into this open area, and what he did was folded his arms on his chest like this, put his head down, and started flapping his feet with the fins. The guy is like free-falling. He's virtually flying, okay? Going down further, down, 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 down. So I see him doing this, and immediately I thought, God damn, that looks cool. So what I did was, I folded my arms on my chest, put my head down, and man, I start getting some speed behind me.
Right.
And it's the coolest thing I've ever done.
Is this when you slammed into the reef?
No. It was later I slammed into the reef.
Okay.
What I was doing was, I was just down there having a fantastic time.
So you're just floating around at 50 feet, and that's the bottom is 50 feet.
Right. And I was very close to the bottom of the pool, and what I would do is I would...
You mean the ocean, not the
ocean,
pool.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I would go up a little bit and then do this thing. I'd put my hands on my chest and dive. It was cool. It was like I was flying almost.
That's cool.
And I'm doing this, and I'm following a fish around, and all of a sudden I look around, and I see him behind me, and he's giving me one of these. You. It's almost like when a trooper's in the middle of the road,
right?
When you're speeding, when the trooper points you, goes, you, over here. I see him. I turn around behind me in the distance, and I see, you, come here.
So you've lost the group.
Come here.
Uh-oh.
Right.
You're into your own little world.
Now keep in mind, what's great underwater is that the guy can't scream at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what he's pissed about. I know he's mad because I've left the group.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he has no way. He's not giving us any sign language to indicate.
Right, that he's mad.
You've gone away from the group.
He's just pointing at you and say, go over here. He's not going, you know, there's nothing for saying, what are you doing?
Right.
You can't communicate those specific words.
It's fantastic. Because I swim back over by the guy, and I just give him this, the okay sign. I go, point to me. Me?
Okay.
Okay.
Me having fun.
And then he says to me, that's what he does. He puts his hands on his chest like this. He goes, then he points at me, you. And he goes, no, shakes his head, no.
Oh.
And I look at him and I go, and I put my hands on my chest. And then I go, me. And I go, yeah.
Nod your head.
Fun. And now we're a stalemate. Because he can't explain to me why I can't do it.
Right, right.
So he says,
so you're basically saying, you know, he's saying, hands on chest. No, and you're going hands on chest. Yes.
Yeah.
What the hell is he going to do? He's told you not to, and you're telling him no.
Right, but all I'm doing is swimming around him. We're all in basically the same area.
Sure.
So then he says, he shrugs his shoulders, like, eh. And I went, okay. I give him the okay sign, and boom, I take off again. The next thing you know, I'm swimming around, and I'm making sure that I'm keeping visual contact with the rest of them. Because Frida and Bart...
Yeah, as the current takes you out to sea.
Frida and Bart and the other people in the group, here's what they're happy doing. They're all happy, just like he floats by this rock, and I hear him go, and he's pointing at some rock where there's a fish.
Right.
And they're all happy just to float around and look at this fish. Meanwhile, you know...
Shocker, they're scuba diving and they're enjoying looking at the fish.
Well, we're in the bottom of the goddamn ocean. Let's swim.
You mean, you're doing what you could do on a water slide.
Let's swim around a little bit.
Sure.
So, I'm swimming around a little bit, and what I notice is... Let's see if I can describe this correctly. I'm doing the thing again where I'm putting my hands on my chest and I'm diving down. And I see that there are two corals.
So what you do is you kick up to the like the mid-level and then just take a free fall,
right,
all the way down. So,
right.
Okay, I can understand why that would
And the further up you go, when you fold your arms and go
the
like
that. The faster you travel.
Right. It's like I found the higher
up. And you get
up,
all the way down to where your butt hits the bottom?
No, you're actually your chest hits the bottom.
Oh, cool. All right.
Okay? Okay, so... What is this? You know, there's always somebody on the telephone.
What? Oh, somebody got disconnected.
A certified scuba instructor wants to tell you it is a regulator. What have I been saying?
The mouthpiece?
What did I say? What did I say?
Resuscitator.
I mean, everybody knew
what
I
knew
what
you meant. I knew what you meant.
Regulator.
Yeah,
okay.
What's that thing you put in your mouth?
Come on. Why don't you people just eat me?
This is pretty much your attitude with the instructor.
Let me tell you, I know what I'm doing here. I put the thing in my mouth. I live to talk about
you
it.
You breathe. So what happens after you're off, you've separated from the group.
I'm doing this diving thing, and I notice that there's this spot where there are these two coral reefs on either side, and there's about 6 feet in between them. And I think, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to swim up about halfway. I'm going to do one of these dives.
Like you're making a target dive.
And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to swim right between these two coral reefs.
Okay.
About 6 feet in between.
All
plenty
right.
of room for me.
So now, I mean, you've been down there how long now? What?
20 minutes.
Okay, Lloyd Bridges. So go ahead. What are you going to do?
So what I do is,
it's sea hunt for you now.
What I do is, I go up about 15 feet. I come down and do the thing where I fold my arms. I'm diving. I'm right in between these two coral reefs. And I mean, I come down and go, whoosh,
and you get a feel for the color when you're down there? I mean, is it pretty to look at?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you know, that stuff's wasted on me.
I understand this.
You know,
simply asking.
If I want that...
Trying to get some information out of it, you know what I mean?
Buy an aquarium. If you want to know what it looks like, buy an aquarium.
Okay, so it is, but it is, it's a different world. And it's a pretty world to look at.
It's... Yeah.
I know you don't want to say that, but it is...
It's okay.
It's okay. It's visually very appealing.
Yes. But frankly, after about 5 minutes...
Yeah, looks like Pennsylvania.
Right. mean, kind of like what I thought about Ireland. Right.
Right.
You know, after about 5 minutes, I'm bored already. It's like I've seen it. But it's cool being down there.
I guess the question I asked, so the reefs that you're seeing are colorful? You can actually see the colors of the reef?
Well, not a lot of color.
Okay,
they're,
not a lot of
they're
color.
They're mainly a brownish,
okay, all right.
A red-brown color.
So you're between the two
reefs. So what
reefs.
I do is, now there are these two reefs on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They're like these two mini walls that have been built up.
Right.
What I do is I dive down between them, and as I am swimming between these two walls, I'm thinking, God damn, this is cool. You know what? I better get back up to the top. And I do this thing with my feet. I start kicking my fins. All of a sudden, I feel something. And I see to the left of me, this gigantic hunk of coral.
Has been dislodged.
Which is now floating next to me.
It's a living creature, you know.
And what I'm looking at is, I'm looking at this thing floating next to me. And I'm thinking,
You think about trying to hide it?
There is no way to hide it. There is no way to hide this thing. And from out of nowhere, here comes Han Solo, our instructor.
He sees you. You've been a bad kid again, man.
He comes over and he goes, and of course, you know, I can't understand. It's like a dog hearing a human speak.
Right.
I go, I'm trying to, I can't hear what you're saying.
Right.
And he's pointing now.
He's pointing to the Bart Simpson of the dive trip.
At this piece of coral, which is about as big as a grapefruit,
mm-hmm.
which is now floating next to us.
Yeah.
And
gone forever.
And he's just pointing at it. He's just pointing at it. So what I think is, he wants me to put it back. So, I swear to God. We are floating, and he's pointing at this. And I point back at it, and he points back at it, and I give it. Okay.
Did he have any glue?
And I go over. Well, no, I figured you could just lodge it back in.
Yeah.
You know, just shove it in some space down on the bottom.
Sure,
of the
ocean. I mean, technically, yeah.
So he points it. I point it, then I give him the okay sign. He gives me the okay sign. I turn my back on him, and just as my hands are going to touch this, I feel his hands on my shoulders, and he yanks me away.
Wow.
And now what he does is he points at it again, and he goes, like you would do a baby?
Right.
No. Have you ever seen Hakeem Olajuwon when he rejects somebody's shot, he does that? No.
Yeah, he's great. I love that.
Right, so what he's doing is he points at it again, and he goes, No. Points it again. No. Meanwhile, I'm trying to tell the guy, I'm going, okay.
It's all right. I've already dislodged it.
I understand. Now, what I'm doing is I'm trying to point to him. I go,
right.
I'm pointing at my fins going, oh, my fins are there. You know, I'm trying to explain. I didn't mean to do it with an accident. And then if you just let
me. You got like 30 seconds of air left.
If you just let me take this, I'm pointing, I go, the rock again. Okay. Rock. Me? I'm showing him my hands. Like, me take rock, swim back, I'll go like this, push it back at the ground.
Yeah.
And he
says, no way.
He says, no. And then at that point, he does this move, where he locks his right arm into my left arm,
mm-hmm.
and he starts to swim away with me.
Pulling you away from the reef.
And I realize that for the rest of this dive, he's not going to let me go 2 inches out of his sight. So he pulls me over where everybody else is still staring at the same stupid fish, and he points at a spot on the ground.
Was it a good-sized fish, at least?
Yeah, no, it's like a fish you see in an aquarium. So what he does is, hey, now he's treating me like a dog. We get back to where everybody else is, and he points at me and goes, you, down. And he points down.
Sit.
And I look down, and then he gives me the sign. He crosses his fingers like this, which means cross your legs. That makes you float to the bottom. He goes, cross your legs and stay. So now he's giving me command like a dog.
Oh, so he's really telling you, like, your dive is over.
You're grounded.
Wow.
So what I do is I go, I'll give you the okay sign, cross my legs, I go down, and now I'm just on my knees.
All the other people are swimming around?
Well, they're not swimming. They're floating around.
You're in the corner.
They're floating around. And after about 2 minutes of this, he comes over, and he looks at me, and he gives me a look. Now, this is all nonverbal, but he gives me a look as if to say, have you learned your lesson? And I look back at him, and I go, all with my hands.
It's the Italian thing.
Not yet.
I go, please swim.
Please let me swim and
do
the thing where I put my chin on my chest and float.
And then he says, okay. And then as I start to go up, he grabs me right there and he goes, points at himself, me, and he acts like he has binoculars on. He looks.
Was there any kind of smile at all when
at
he was
you?
Just...
No, not now. No. Now, so he says, I can go again, but he points. He goes, wait. Me, him, binoculars,
watch.
You.
Wow.
And I went,
oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, God.
No problem.
You were his problem child,
no
man.
No problem.
This guy, boy, I'm surprised everybody else survived the dive.
So for the rest of the dive, I did what everybody else did.
I looked at the fish.
We looked at the
See
fish.
Any good-sized fish?
Yeah. You know. It was all right. And then the 30 minutes was up, and every gear made a sign, we're going to go up.
Then you go right up, or do you have to stop periodically?
No, you can go up, but what he did was he took us up to, we were 10 feet from the top,
mm-hmm.
and then from there, he had told us in advance, points at his watch and says, we have 3 minutes. Like, if you had a camera or something,
right.
you could take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where I am absolutely just bored out of my mind.
Just chomping at the bit to get above the surface. I would think that that would be very difficult. I mean, even though you enjoyed the experience, you were ready probably
No, you're wrong. What I wanted was, if we had 3 more minutes...
Mm-hmm. You wanted to go back down?
We'll go back down. So while everybody else is taking pictures, I'm just hanging on this rope, and he swims over to me, and he gives me the okay sign, and I go, eh. I show him my shoulder, I go, okay. And then he goes, what? Like, what? And I said, I don't want to go down again. And then the guy...
Forever. Okay, Ariel.
No, you know what the guy says? The guy says, okay.
Okay.
And he goes like this. Two. I'm wearing a watch. He goes, 2 minutes. Go ahead. But then he goes again. He gives me the... No, like, yeah. You're right, Mike, with the binoculars.
With the binoculars.
Wow. And don't touch anything.
So you did go down for
so
2 minutes of bliss where you are all by yourself.
One more time.
Cool.
Folded my arms. Flew around like I was Superman. At the end of 2 minutes, came back, took the rope up, got in the boat, and it was at this point that I'm ready for the guy just to hand me my ass in my hand. I mean,
right.
I'm ready for this guy to tear into me. We're taking off our equipment. He comes over, and at this point, the guy goes, can I tell you something? And I'm getting ready for him to say, you're never allowed on this boat again.
Right.
He said, your group was wonderful. You're fantastic. He says, most people are afraid to try that dive move. He says, I only didn't want you to do that because you hit the coral. He said, other than that, you're fantastic. The stuff that you had done, it takes people many, many, many lessons to learn how to
do. Oh, so you see, at this point you're ready to cry. You're
yeah,
so happy.
He's very much at ease down there. Other than the coral experience, it was a pleasure. I hope you understood that I wasn't trying to be mean, but this is God's world down here, and you doing that will take 2,000 years to replace.
Wow.
And I explained to him, I said, I saw this space between those coral walls, and I wanted to swim between them. He said, that's fine, I understood that, but when you flapped your fins, that's when you hit the piece of coral. And I explained, I said, I was just going to pick it up and put it back. And he says, you can't just pick it up and put it back. And I said, I was just going to cram it in there. He said, no, if you were to just cram it in there, you would...
He's mocking you a little bit. If you were to just cram it in here, American friend.
You would do more damage than good for you. You would hurt the coral where you were cramming it. So that's why I wanted to tell you, just leave it alone. Yeah, but at that point, like, the guy's giving me a compliment. He says, I'm a natural.
Well, that's good.
He's a natural.
So you're going to do it again?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, you bet I am.
But you're going to memorize the hand signals?
I don't see any need to.
No need to.
I did fine without them. You know, the only one I'm going to remember is the okay.
Right.
And the I got to go up sign. Those are the two that I got mixed up.
And it sounds like it was a pretty incredible experience. And it sounds like you had a pretty good instructor,
too. It was fantastic. He could not have been nicer when it was done. He was very cool to me. He said, if you want to dive again, please ask for me. Come out with me. I'll take
cool.
you. I'll take you out a spot where you can go out even further, where you can go another 50 feet down.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
Fantastic. And as a matter of fact, just
voyage to the bottom of the sea.
Just to prove. The next day, we saw the guy in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
We were swimming in the pool, and the guy was in the pool doing his instruction with another group of people.
Right.
And we saw him, and Frieda said, uh-oh, you better go the other way. There's that instructor.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, he's all right. And I swam over by him, and he came up, and Ryan was like a best friend. He said, hello, how are you? And he says, I swear to God, the guy next to him, this is one of the best students I ever had. This guy took the class, went down yesterday like a pro. But watch the coral. So I don't know, maybe he was just playing me for a tip or something.
Who knows?
Which I ended up giving him.
Hey, probably deserved it.
It was just...
That sounds like a cool thing, though.
Just
that's
a great experience.
Little diving, little voyage to the bottom of the sea.
And then, you know, the last thing from vacation was when I decided about 3 days into it that I was really... having whatever this crisis was that I was having, this midlife crisis, when I really said to Frieda one night, I said, let's talk seriously about our money.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about how much money we have.
Right.
Let's talk about how much money we have socked aside for Bart going to college. Let's talk about how much we owe in the houses and the car.
Right.
And let's...
drop out of society.
Let's figure out what it would take to buy a place down here.
Right.
What kind of budget we would need to live down here for... 20 years.
There you go. You know you love a vacation when you do that.
I mean, for...
you know, loads of people do that on vacation.
That's
they do.
Cool. Yeah, except they don't come back and still think about it like I am.
Well, that's cool. I think you should... I think
I'm thinking about it.
Your kid is almost grown, and you ought to, you know, do that.
Yeah, we got 3 more years. We'll see what happens.
That would be an interesting experience. Okay. And once again, the offer still stands. If, you know, if we can talk CBS into it, we can do the show down there.
Yay. I've got just one more vacation thing. We have to do a break, and it has nothing to do with going to the Cayman Islands or anything. It was when we came back. Oh, and Bart had his 15th birthday when we were on vacation. We took a boat ride to a restaurant on an island where they brought out a cake and they sang. And it was,
cool.
It was all very nice. But all of this built up to the drama that was yesterday when we took him to DMV to get his learner's permit. Okay?
You have to be with him in the car when he drives, right?
Yes, yes, I do. Okay, here's Jody now. Who would like to state the obvious. Jody.
Hey, Don, the instructor was looking for a tip. They tell that to everybody at the end of the Dodge.
Right. I believe I indicated that, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you give him a tip?
Thank you for stating the obvious.
He said he did give him a tip.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what he was looking for.
Right. Oh, yeah. F you.
Welcome back. Yeah. There you go. That's the moment right there.
Thank you.
That's the moment.
Thank you, though. Thank you. Thank you for that incredible insight, Jody.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
There
goodbye.
You go. Welcome back to our happy family.
All right. Well, he didn't say it to anybody else, okay?
Right.
What can I say? He didn't say it to Mr. Type A, who nearly killed his child, who refused to go in the water.
That's right. How'd they get along on the boat ride back to the
U.S.? Not well.
That's terrible,
though. The poor little girl.
She was really 6 or 7 years old?
Yeah, she sat by herself. And the dad was over in the corner talking to the other divers, the other guys who had been certified who had already been out diving.
Of course. So he wasn't even comforting the kid.
No. One of the other instructors was sitting next to her, giving her some oranges.
Well, Daddy, congratulations. Good luck having her go diving with you sometime in the future.
Time out. Let me just tell you about this thing. Taking my kid to DMV. We get right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What the hell do you think you're doing here? You're out of the business for good. Forever.
Will you just listen a minute?
Shut up. You shut your mouth once and for all.
Helping you to understand comedy. Don and Mike.
All right, so we get back from vacation.
Yes.
My son's officially turned 15.
Congratulations. A happy birthday, Bart.
Yeah. And what that means is that... Oh, and Buzz, why did you guys send him 2 cards?
Because Marcia didn't want to sign the one that I chose, so that one is just from me, and the other one's from the both of us.
Oh, I got you. The slightly off-color one?
Yes, that's the one.
Beautiful.
Very nice.
So, we get back, and all he's been thinking about the whole vacation is the fact that on the last day of March, he's going to turn 15, which means as soon as we get back, he can take the test.
Right.
And he can... drive with us in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So we get back, we study the book. Yesterday, we're off to the wonderful world of DMV.
Nothing finer.
We get there about, you know, against my wishes, my family wanted to wait till later in the morning
to go. Right.
I said, we should, you know, it's been my experience. You go to DMV, you stand outside the door at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
So when they open up at 8 o'clock, you're the first one in, you go to the information booth, you get your stuff, and you're out.
Right.
But no, they said we had to wait, so we waited till later. We arrived mid-morning, we walked in, to my surprise, there was not a large line at the information booth.
Hmm.
We got the forms, we started filling them out, and it was at that point that we realized that we needed Bart's social security card.
You need the card or just the number?
Well, you need the number, Ryan, since... he's never had a chance to use the card before.
Right.
The card was at home.
Yeah.
Which meant that mommy had to get back in the car and go all the way back home.
That's always nice.
And that means that I got to spend another extra hour just
sitting in the DMV with Bart,
right,
waiting for mommy to come back. And, you know, it was frustrating because you would see, as the hour progressed,
the crowd getting thicker and thicker.
The DMV got more crowded and
sure,
more people waiting in line, and we saw more and more people's number being called. And
right,
finally, I said to Bart, just go get a number. And I said, even if they call your number, go up and tell them that mommy went back to get your Social Security number. Maybe you can do all the crap without it. So they call his number, and we go up to the booth, and thank God we didn't get one of the trolls that works at DMV. We got an actual nice human being, and she said, no, she couldn't do anything without the Social Security number. But as soon as mommy showed up with it, we should just cut in line and go right back to her booth.
Okay.
So we said, we wait. Frida shows up with the Social Security card. He fills out the form. He takes the eye test. He goes over, he goes to the computer screen, he takes the test. There's a part of me that's hoping that he aces the test. There's another part of me hoping that,
he fails
the test.
Sure. And this is one where they let you know immediately if you've passed,
yes,
right?
Yes, right away. As soon as you take it, as soon as you punch in your answers to the computer, as soon as you're done the last question,
right,
it immediately says, pass or fail.
Right.
Now, while we've been sitting here waiting for him to take the test, Frida and I, we've seen 10 people go in, and we've seen 8 of them fail.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Right.
So we're...
Some of them young kids, too?
No, many of them...
Not from here?
Not of this land.
Okay.
That
very
would be,
good.
That would be the best...
It's a nice politically correct way of saying
it. The best way to explain it. Uh-huh. A lot of lawn care workers.
Oh, God. Okay, so much for politically correct.
Hey, I want to drive the car. So these guys, they're all failing, guys and girls, and he gets done. And as soon as he keys in his last answer, all of a sudden we see his arms go up in the air.
Ah, he passed it.
Hey! And he turns around and he gives us the hey. I got it. And that's when the fear really sets in.
Now, will there be a driving portion of the test on his 16th birthday?
Yes, but for this?
But for this, he's just...
no driving. He simply...
So he's driving your car now.
Right.
Everywhere you go.
He drives.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes over and he, just like for a regular driver's license, gets his picture taken, signs in the little box, with his scraggly signature. We wait 5 minutes. The lady gives him his driver's license. We leave the place. And my wife gives him the keys to our truck. And she says, go ahead.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
And that was fine because I was sitting in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until later in the day.
DMV that you went to in a particularly busy area? Complex for the or have you?
No.
You've taken him through different situations, right?
Yeah. So he didn't encounter any situations yesterday that he hadn't already been ready for.
Okay.
So I was in the back seat and I purposely kept myself focused on reading the newspaper so as not to
freak
actually
out.
Realize that you know
he's driving the car.
He's driving the car.
Help me.
So they dropped me off at home. Because I had to have a long-distance argument with Jeremy Coleman, of which we'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to go to the grocery store. And, of course, since now Bart can drive, suddenly, you know, if we need eggs or we need milk, suddenly it's an excuse to get in the car and have him drive. Well, as it turns out, later in the afternoon, we received a piece of mail when we were on vacation, something, a box, and we had to go to the post office to get it since they left us a little note saying we couldn't deliver this. So all afternoon he'd been waiting, Dad, is it 3 o'clock? Can we go to the post office? Can we go to the post office? I said, okay, let's go to the post office. We get into the truck. We buckle up. And right away, I become exactly what I didn't want to do with him. I'm the worst backseat driver.
Sure. Well, that's why it's a learner's permit.
He is pulling out of the driveway.
Probably the only time where being a backseat driver is appropriate.
Right. As he is pulling out of the driveway, I'm saying, no, more to the left, more to the left. Keep it in the middle, more to the left, more to the left. As he's going up to the top of the street, the stop sign that I always blow through without even stopping at.
Right.
Because it's at the end of our street, which is at the end of a big dead-end road. I bust his balls because I say, hey, not a complete stop. And you didn't make a complete stop at the stop sign. You stopped at Brian's house, which is technically not by the stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
Next time, pull up to the stop sign, make a full complete stop at the stop sign. I said, and where's the turn signal?
Right.
all of this, and he's not even off our street.
Well, but that's what you're supposed to do when he's got a learner's permit. You're supposed to be doing that. You're his driving instructor.
So we get out on the two-lane highway with all the hills and everything.
Now, I got a question for you. You see all the kids with the driver instruction things. Is this the replacement for that, or does he still have to eventually take a driving instruction class?
No, this is it.
Rob was nodding his head.
And they changed it.
He doesn't have to take any class. This is it.
Nothing behind the wheel?
At 15, he can drive with us. At 16, he goes in, and if he passes the driving test, he gets his license.
Wow.
That's it.
You don't sound like you're happy about that.
No,
you want it to be more difficult,
no,
don't
I'm
you?
Not. Oh, but I bet this is him. Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
Hello? Hey, I do have to take a driving class.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, well, that's only fair, Bart. We all did.
Right.
Hello?
I don't really think it's fair that I'm driving along and I stop, like, I don't know, 20 feet before the thing, and I see no one's coming, so I go around the corner, and Dad goes, didn't stop.
Told you, that's what I just told everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Hello? Did you use the turn? Did you, excuse me. Did you use the turn signal?
Okay. I don't really want to go into the nature observatory or whatever down a gravel road.
All right. That's a landmark by where we live. But,
right. But your signal's for the road.
You should use the turn signal. You were making a right-hand turn. You should have used the turn signal.
Do you ever use the turn signal?
That's not relevant right now.
Do what I say, not what I do.
So we get out on the road, and now we're no longer in our little subdivision. Now we're on...
But don't forget, Dad.
What?
As we're driving up the street, you start turning on the radio, and I say, Dad, would you please not do that? It distracts me. And you go, no, it'll be fine.
Well, I can't be in the car and not have the radio on. I'm sorry. I just can't. He said, Mom says that I'm not allowed to listen to the radio in the car. And he said, oh, you know, poppycock. You'll learn. You'll learn. We'll just... I won't flip stations a lot, but, you know, the radio is a soothing friend on a long commute. And I knew that this would be a long commute. So we get on the real road. Now we're no longer in the subdivision. We're on a real road with real lines painted down the middle with other cars coming. And he's doing okay. And now I'm fighting this urge. He's going too slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fighting the urge to tell him,
yeah,
give it a little more.
Well, Dad,
you can go a little faster.
I was going the speed limit.
No. Speed limit was 35 and you're going 25.
No, Dad. Actually, remember you said, go faster, Bart. Speed limit's 45.
And that's when we were coming back from the post office.
And on the way there, I said, no, Dad, look, 35, there's a sign.
Boy, I don't envy you, I'll tell you that right now.
Good luck. So, but I'm biting my tongue. I'm not saying go faster or go slower. I only said that when I noticed that there were cars that were piling up behind us because we were in a no-pass zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what, just give it a little more gas. Just give it a little more gas. And he slowed down when there was a guy backing out of his...
Speed should be reasonable as to conditions.
Yeah. The guy was backing out of his driveway ahead of us, and I said...
I still remember that. That's scary.
I said, don't stop because a guy's backing out of his driveway on the other side of the road. I know you're being polite, but keep in mind, you're on the main road. Just keep going.
Uh-huh.
That guy can back out of his
driveway.
And if
he happens to, you know, not see you and back all the way across the road, that is his fault.
Yes.
So, I mean, you keep your speed up. So
and I see three or four people waiting to get out of this little tiny street, and I stop, and Dad says, what are you doing?
Right, because you're on a major road. You don't just stop on a major road.
Usually people stop and let them go sometimes.
No. Not on that road. You just don't stop. Barty, when you're on that road, you go. They can just wait.
No one was behind me.
See, this is the whole problem.
This is tough.
What did I tell you yesterday? You listen to me. When I'm in the car with you, when you're driving on that road we were on yesterday, you don't stop. What did I tell you yesterday? I said, what if a car came up from one of those hills behind you, and they were going, let's say, 40 miles an hour?
I wasn't doing it on the hilly section.
Yeah, you're not obligated to stop on any kind of road to let people out. Even if you're trying to be polite.
It's the polite thing.
No.
Right, listen.
No. It's not the legal thing to do.
Someday you'll get past this being polite, but I'm telling you right now, when you're on that road or you're on any major road,
do not stop unless there's a stop sign or unless someone in front of you is making a left-hand turn. You just don't stop to let people out.
Right.
You just don't do that, Barty.
Yes, you do.
No.
No, you don't.
You could be impeding traffic and you could get rear-ended.
Now, well, if there's no one behind me, who am I going to get rear-ended by?
Listen, for the last time, this is like the discussion we had yesterday. You're going to piss me off now, and you're not going to be able to drive. When you're on that road, you don't stop.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay.
This is what it was like the whole way to the goddamn post office.
Excuse you me. Have the right to revoke that license at any moment.
Yes, you bet your ass I do. You bet your ass I do. So we go to the post office.
Bart, if it's any consolation to you, you know, when you're 17, 18 years old, you won't have the urge to be polite. You know, you'll be going on that road like everybody else, and you know, you won't want to stop because you'll have more confidence behind the wheel, and you'll know that you just keep roaring along.
And you'll realize that your time is more valuable than those people who need to get out on that road.
Absolutely.
But this is something that will come with time. But I'm telling you right now, like I told you yesterday, like I'm telling you now on the radio, the safe thing to do is when you're on that road, keep going.
And the safe thing to do is speed up to 50 if the traffic's going 50?
I didn't tell you to speed up to 50 when the traffic's going 50.
45.
I did not.
I was going 35 and you told me to speed up.
You know what? You're really going to piss me off. You really are. You weren't going 35, you're going 25. I told you to pick the pace up. That's what I told you. That's what I told you.
I know how fast...
And hello, this is what driving with your father is going to be like.
I know how fast I was going.
And no, you don't. I was looking at the speedometer, you're going 25.
But you have the sideways angle at it, making it look as if it's less.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
Listen, for the very last time, I know we're on the radio and you're having a good time and all. But you're going to understand when I get home tonight that this is not some fun little bit I'm doing on the radio. When you're driving in that car with me and you're driving that car with Mom, you do what we say or we take that license away.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
And do not patronize me.
I'm not, sir.
Uncle Mike,
I'm sorry.
Do not laugh.
I'm sorry. But you know I'm going to be going through the same thing.
Dad, I'm serious. I'm not patronizing you.
All right.
Listen to your father, Bart.
It was white knuckle time yesterday, all the way to the post office and all the way back. But by the time
going under the speed limit is as bad as going over the speed limit.
But by the time we got to the second drive of the day, things were a little better. By the time we got to the second drive, wouldn't you agree things were better?
Yes.
It's going to get better and better. You're going to get more confidence. You're going to feel better behind the wheel, and you're going to get the hang of it.
However, just so you know, like I told you yesterday, your days of driving on the Beltway are still way in your future.
I didn't ask to drive on the Beltway.
I'm just telling you. Just making sure that that's a known fact.
Yes, sir.
That you'll be driving to the post office or to the grocery store or to the gas station or to Blockbuster. But for right now, that's about it.
Yes, sir.
And one more thing. When you're driving down our street, don't honk. One of the neighbor kids is playing in her yard. She's driving down the road, he honks at her. And I said, why are you honking? He said, well, because she could have run out in front of the car. I said, you are not...
Because she could have run out.
You are honking just so that Nicole will see you driving. That's the little girl down the street. And he said, no, Dad. No, she might have run out in front of the car.
Oh, God.
That's funny. You
don't know. So listen, he's officially driving now.
Congratulations and happy birthday, Bart.
Thank you.
All right, big guy.
Dad, I'm sorry.
All right, I know you are. Yeah, and you'll do fine. I know you'll do fine.
Good luck, Bart.
Okay.
All right, love you.
Love you, too.
All right, I'll see you later.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
A little man.
That went well.
A little man. God. Man.
I know.
This is like, I'm listening to every detail on this one.
I know it. I'm screaming at him. He has to take your baseball hat off. Like, why? Because you can't see when you got driving with a baseball hat on. He says, you drive with a baseball hat on. I've been driving for 30 years. Take your hat off when you're driving in the car with me.
I don't have to worry about it, though. No cars at the convent. No cars at the convent.
So that's it. I'm out. That's my vacation. That's what I did yesterday. That's what I'm going through right now. That's it. And it all starts again tomorrow morning on the carpool.
Fantastic.
Because I'm going to let him drive.
part of the way to school.
Part of the way, and then you have to switch.
Yeah, we switch
before you get to the Beltway.
Excuse me, no, way before the Beltway.
Way before the Beltway.
Way before the Beltway. By the time we get to the big road,
right,
that's when we'll switch. But that was that was my vacation.
That's fascinating, that last little part there. I know that anybody with young children like me, I mean, something to look forward to.
Oh, and also helping this all along is the fact that my mother-in-law got him an electric razor for his birthday. Even though...
Does he need it yet?
No! No, but he shaved four times yesterday.
God.
You know, I said to him, I said, look at me. I'm your father, okay? You see this little beard I have? It took me 40 years to be able to grow this.
40 years.
That's true.
Just like the coral.
For 40 years, I couldn't... For 40 years, I couldn't grow this.
Don't let anybody hit you in the face with a flipper.
Hello? Pardon me?
I get no respect.
What do you mean you get no respect?
Making fun of me for shaving. Grandma's the only one who respects me.
Oh, who is Grandma?
Yeah.
Oh, because Grandma got you the razor?
Yes.
What kind of razor?
Electric one.
What brand name? Yeah, he's like father, like son. I shouldn't have asked.
He doesn't know.
I don't know.
All I know, though, is yesterday, every time that I went upstairs, I heard...
I wasn't just shaving, I was playing with it.
I said, what were you...
Has it got the three rotating heads on it?
I don't know. No.
Oh, okay.
I could shave my sideburns with it, though.
Cool.
If you had sideburns.
I do.
That's just...
Oh, Barty, you do not.
That's just hair hanging down in front of your ear.
Yeah, you don't have sideburns yet.
That's what you think. I shaved them.
Right. Okay. All right. I'll see you when I get home.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's the other big development.
Where's Bart?
I said the free to last life. Where's Bart?
Shaving.
I was going to turn the game on. Does he want to watch the game? Where's he at?
He's shaving.
He's shaving.
That's
shaving.
Great.
He's shaving again.
Very
man.
Cool.
Shaving again. Okay, so that's all I have. Now, your vacation, do we have to do a break?
Do you want to hear about the couple making love next door? My golf clubs being stolen or the fudge show?
I want to hear it all.
Yeah, all right.
I want to hear it all. I want to hear every lovely detail of your week in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Where the people used to be very friendly.
When we come right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show. They have Herculean appetites for the diverse and the bizarre. Dawn and Mike.
Now, we haven't talked much about it today, but we definitely will tomorrow. Listen, we got to find... By Friday show, at least three lucky ladies with just big bushes of matted hair.
Unkempt gardens. If you've had a problematic garden that you'd like to get permanently taken care of,
nice bush. We're going to help you because Friday we'll be awarding three lucky ladies permanent hair removal from their bikini area, courtesy of Physicians Cosmetic Laser Institute. They offer guaranteed permanent body hair removal for all skin types.
Right.
1-800-228-7959. If a hair grows back, you come back for free.
That's great.
So, ladies, if that is a problem area for you with the swimsuit season coming up,
this is pretty easy to prove, too. Look, it grew back.
We are going to get a room full of women and their unkempt gardens Friday. The three worst problem areas will each win the free bikini laser hair removal surgery, and each of these surgeries, which is guaranteed, is valued at $1,500.
Wow. That is a seriously good prize.
So if you are or you know of a woman who has a very messy bush, you want to have her call us and have her come down on Friday's episode.
Messy bush.
The messy bush.
Messy bush.
Hello.
There it is. Of course, there's the poster child for messy bush.
Mm.
So, you know what? Two quick things. Very quick.
Yes.
Promise. Before we get to your vacation.
Okay.
I forgot to tell you about watching ESPN International.
Right.
Which is the funniest thing in the Cayman Islands.
They have subtitles or something like that?
Cayman Islands.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just like... regular Sports Center,
right?
With the same music and the same graphics, except it's all for all those fag British sports like cricket, and what they call football soccer,
right?
And all the guys talk in British accents.
Yeah, that was a lovely shot there.
But it's the same thing with the music, the da na na da na na. All that stuff's the same.
Here comes the cricket, mate.
And the other thing that I wanted to mention was that, of course, another reason I loved going to the Cayman Islands was the fact that they sell Cuban cigars there,
right?
So I.
probably, I'm sure I caught skin cancer last week because I'm so goddamn tanned. And I'm also pretty sure I caught lung cancer last week because I had so many Cuban cigars.
Well, you only go around this planet once. What the heck? Have a good time.
Uh-huh. So when we were there, everybody that I talked to said, don't even try to bring them back because they're very tough at customs at the airport. So what I did was I had about 10 little Cubans, and they had put them in a baggie and put them inside my dirty underwear. We had a laundry bag full of...
Nobody's going in there, even the most seasoned customs veteran will stay out of there.
Full of dirty clothes. Well, and the longer we stayed on vacation in this place, the more guys said to me, you know what? I buy 3, 4, 5, 6 boxes. They never even look in your bags at the airport.
Well, you're taking them home for your own use.
Yeah, right.
Right.
But I had promised Freedom Bart that I wouldn't buy a box and bring them back with me. And so I said, what I'm going to do is... I didn't keep it a secret from them. I'm going to take some, I'm going to roll them up in this bag in my underpants and put this in the bag with all the other underpants and socks.
Well, you're allowed to bring in a couple, right?
No, you're not allowed to bring in any.
None at all. Boy, why can't we stop this embargo?
Technically, crazy. You're not allowed to bring in any. And they kill you at the airport when you're leaving.
Right.
Because at the airport, on the way out, they have duty-free shops where the cigars are incredibly cheap. Every goddamn Cuban cigar in the world you could want, dirt cheap. Big, gigantic bottles of booze that are like the cost of a bottle of Evian water.
Right, right.
You know, they tempt you with all this stuff.
Sure.
So all I did was take 10 and put them in my underpants bag. So when we got to Miami, when we got to the customs area, as we were walking through, I started to get nervous.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, oh, God, they're going to go through my underpants. And I was more concerned that they're going to be going through my dirty underpants.
Look at this, sir. Bob, let me tell you something. I have a real good idea that he's got cigars in his suitcase, but I'm not going in there. I'm not going in there for all the money in the world.
I'm more concerned about the fact you're going to be looking at my dirty underwear than the fact that I've got 10 cigars in there.
Absolutely.
But, of course,
there should be an embargo on those.
as soon as we get to the customs, Here's the big check. The guy says, how you doing? Welcome home.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing about customs. He could be doing that to you, then the next guy, you know, comes in with the 15 boxes of Monte Cristos, and he's,
just killing myself.
He gets them all taken away.
I just killed myself. I could have had a lifetime supply of Cuban cigars. I didn't have the balls to bring them back.
It sounds like an exotic location that you were at.
It was. It was fantastic. Well, yes, as opposed to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Well, let me tell you something about Myrtle Beach. I love Myrtle Beach, but this was just one of those problematic vacations. This was one of those trips that did not go as well as... I've been to Myrtle Beach a bunch of times. I like going down there. There are lots of things for the kids to do. There are lots of things for me. You know, obviously, it's got golf for me. It's got some nice shopping down there for Laura. It just was one of those deals where the place that we stayed, which will go nameless, Legends Resort, was I think this is a place that deals with a lot of golfers, a lot of men. I call them, when I'm down there with my family, I call this, and anybody who's a golfer who's ever been down there with a group of 20 guys, they're packs of men. And you know any group, when it travels in a pack, you don't behave the same way you do as if you're there with your family, or if you're there alone, you behave differently. And so they're dealing with this all the time at this place, and I'm sure that that's why there were certain attitudes that they had down there.
Oh, I forgot to say, I played golf, too.
You did?
Yes.
And you had a wonderful experience playing golf.
108.
That's good.
That's my score.
That's good. I think I played with a guy like you my last day there, too.
108, and I got to be the only guy in the world to shoot a 108. I was thrilled with it.
That's good.
I was thrilled.
You're 8 strokes away from breaking 100, and not many people do that.
For me, it was a great round of golf, but it was nothing like your round of golf.
Well, it was one round that went terribly. Well, there were three bad times that I had down there. But the trip started out great. We started out, it was the best driving that I've ever had. I mean, both coming and going, driving down there. You know, we have our little system where we get on the highway, and then there's the number one priority. Saturday morning, bright and early, we're heading right for the Iron Skillet, which to me, if you are heading down, and I tell this to everyone, you know, I've given food recommendations on this show before, but if you're going down to, you know, down 95, down south on the East Coast, you want to stop at the Iron Skillet. It's a truck stop. There are showers in there for the truckers.
That's great.
That might turn people off, but I'll tell you, I bring my whole family in there. Yes, my wife gets stared at by the truckers, but I'll tell you right now, this place is a great place to eat. They've got good food, and they've got friendly service, and I went there, and that. So I'm happy because we're making great time. It's a beautiful sunny day, and we're stopping at the Iron Skillet, and everything was wonderful. We made the best time driving down to Myrtle Beach that we've ever made before, and we got there. I was actually planning on doing it overnight because it usually takes so long to get there.
Did you observe all local speed ordinances?
Unquestionably, as I always do. Mm-hmm. Don, I've got my family in the car. Why would I go over the speed limit?
Hold on a second.
Yes.
Hello, Lee?
Yes?
I would only interrupt if we had a contestant for the Harry Garden contest. And this is the first. Her name is Lee. Where are you from, Lee?
Baltimore.
You have a real mess down there?
Yeah, I do.
And
my husband likes me to shave it, but
is it something you'd like to take care of permanently?
Yes, I would.
Now I'll tell you that the good people at Physicians Cosmetic Laser Institute have told us that the women who are involved in this contest can either have the traditional V,
right?
You know,
uh-huh.
Or they can get the landing strip.
Yeah, that's my recommendation.
Or if you like, they will go JonBenet.
Yeah.
They will
take it all off?
They'll take it all off.
Oh, you don't want to do that. You'll never have any options.
Well, it's up to you. Lee, do you need just a trim or do you want it all taken off?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
All right, well, you can decide between now and Friday. Is it a mess down there, though?
Yes.
I can tell by talking to her.
Ew! Well, Lee, what you have to do is come down on Friday. We'll give you a specific time.
Okay.
You have to come. I thought you were going to say we'll give her a spiffy new haircut.
You'll have to come down and be voted upon by the panel of judges.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And if you're voted one of the three worst, or if only three ladies decide to sign up for this contest, then you're in. But if you're voted one of the three worst, most needing of this surgery, mm-hmm. you'll instantly win it.
Cool.
All right. Hold on. Lee, just for snicks, who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Oh. I've heard Maria Shriver, but I don't have the jaw.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised.
Okay.
Petite? Are you a petite woman?
No. I'm not at all.
Let's see.
Okay. Thank you. Hold on, Lee.
Hi.
Hold on. Well, that's contestant number one for the Messy Bush contest on Friday.
I think I saw her at the Irish.
I think she's the chef there, isn't she?
She is the chef. We get down there. The Iron Skillet is a great place to eat. I've told you that before. I love it. So I'm very happy. We stopped by south of the border as we're heading down there.
Of course.
But we didn't get out this time. We didn't get out. I didn't like the look of it. They got this gambling happening down there right now, and I don't think it's a good environment. So we just drove through because we brought a babysitter with us, and she had never seen south of the border. Our good friend Leah, and so we drove through, and I said,
"It's Leah Remini."
It's Leah Remini. Wow. And I said, do you want to get out? And she said, do you? I'm like, not really. And she said, not really. So we just kept going. We head down there. We make such good time that I'd actually planned on an overnight and not to get it in one day with the kids, with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. You don't think that they're going to last for, you know, more than 5 hours in the car. They were fantastic. They were happy. They enjoyed the trip. And we made it down there in one day. So we get down there one day, but we don't have a place to stay. So we have to make last-second arrangements as to where we're going to stay down there. And, hey, lo and behold, as we're driving in on Route 501, there's the Sleep Inn. You know, what better place, you know? It's the first place we see. It didn't look like the parking lot was very crowded. Yeah, they had a tour bus in there, but I said, let's all get our rooms at the Sleep Inn.
And so, the finest.
So we stopped at the Sleep Inn, and I thought everything would be fine. I said, the next day we'll go over to this place where we're staying, where we get to, you know, we got the condo for the week, and we check in. Everybody's very tired. We put the kids to sleep. The kids are, the way we're going to work it is Laura, I get a good deal here. We have double beds, Laura and the two babies, because they're all tiny, all sleep in one bed, and Daddy gets his own double bed.
All right.
Which is very cool, because, you know, frankly, Elizabeth is the size now where she's a little squirmy, and she kind of kicks me where I don't want to be kicked in the middle of the night.
And they all end up in bed with you in the morning anyway, don't they? Really?
They crawl in when they wake up.
Right, that's what I mean.
So they sleep with Mama, and then I have my own bed. And
now, did the babysitter sleep with you?
Babysitter
sleep in your bed.
In my bed, and that's how we're comfortable for the whole trip. Now, she had her own room, you know, down the hall, and she she's all by herself, and we all drop off to sleep very early. It's about probably the kids go to sleep. We get at 9:30-ish. We completely lights out. Everybody goes to sleep. I am awakened 2 hours later at the sleep inn, which I came to realize had very thin walls. I am awakened by this sound. All I hear the first time, I hear what sounded like this. And immediately, it was so loud that my eyes opened. Immediately, I hear the knock, and I'm awake, and followed immediately by this sound. And I suddenly realize, oh, no. This has happened to me. Do you remember when this happened to me a long time ago when I'm with my brother-in-law down in Atlantic City and the same thing happened to me? I didn't think this horror experience could ever happen again.
But did your babysitter meet somebody already?
No, this is not the babysitter. This is on the other end of the hotel, and I will tell you right now, don't you go making fun of my babysitter.
I'm not making fun of your babysitter.
All right, so I hear this. I hear... And then I hear... I mean, what I am hearing, obviously, is the sound, as gross as it is, of a headboard that is hitting the wall. I am wide awake. I look over, and I see my wife in bed with the two babies. She is sound asleep. I am dying to share this with her, but I don't want to wake her up because I also don't, my God, if I wake her up...
Were you aroused?
No, because it was really, it was the kind of sound, even through the wall, I'm fascinated by it because I'm listening. I didn't want to press my ear up against the wall, but I hear it. It sounded to me like it may be a big woman because it was kind of like it was more like a
like maybe there's two guys.
And you know, and somebody asked me also, did I think maybe that it was the TV? Well, if it was the TV, how could I hear like the knocking sound on the wall? These were two people that were in the middle of making love, and it was going, and you hear this, and I really just wanted. I'm sitting there, and I've gotten, you know, I want to say, Laura, I couldn't do it because I was going to wake everybody up, and I wanted to say, Laura, the two people are screwing right next to this room, and it went. It went on. I swear to God, it went on. For 15 minutes. It did not, this was not quick. And I'm, you know,
I guarantee it wasn't me in the next
one. Well, let me tell you right now, I cannot go back to sleep hearing this, and the walls are just like, but not enough to hear anything. You'd hear, and then he'd just, and just when I would think, you know, all of a sudden there would be silence, and then I'd hear,
okay.
And I'm like, what is this Superman I got next door? It takes me a half an hour to get back to sleep after it finally, you know, settles down. The next morning, we're getting everybody loaded up, but I say to Laura, I said, honey, I'm going to go down and see if I can get a newspaper. Because what I'm hoping, you know, we're going to check out about that 9 o'clock time when everybody checks out.
Did you see Charlie Broyles' car in the parking lot?
I didn't see Charlie Broyles' car. But I wanted to see who it was, and I got lucky. I couldn't believe it, because... There was a guy in front of me that checks out, and he mentioned his room number. And I thought it sounded like the room number that was adjoining ours. So I say to the lady, I said, is that on the left side of room whatever number we were in? And she says, you know, the sleep-in lady behind the counter, you know, this took her like an hour and a half to process. Yes, I think, you know, the time that it took for her to figure out what I was trying to find out, I could have gone up there and looked and seen if it was the number, but this guy looked a little bit like Ike Turner.
Oh, really?
Moments later, the object of his affection came down, and the best way to describe her,
like?
Nell Carter. It was a very slender man and a very large woman, and I really almost wanted to follow them out of the parking lot and go, hey, baby, great show, but it was like the, and then but I'll tell you, I almost gave him a high five because he had staying power. It was absolutely amazing. The only thing, and now this is the only thing that's disturbing, and I think they had their own room, but they had a couple of what appeared to be teenage boys with them.
Oh, God.
I mean, it was obviously a family, and I think that they had their own room. I hope that they weren't trying to accomplish that while the kids were asleep in the bed next door.
Or watching.
Oh, God. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it, but we were on our way, and I went across the street to the place where we were staying, and I knew it was early, and I said, hi, we're here early. Is there a chance we could get in early? And they were very nice at that time of the morning. They were very nice. I said, no, check-in time is at 4 o'clock.
That's a pisser, isn't it, when you go to a hotel?
It's ridiculous.
Because you know they got rooms.
Yeah. Right.
You know they got tons of rooms.
Well, you know what check-out time is noon. Now, what they tell you is, of course, they need the 4 hours to get the room ready.
That's bull.
But it's crap. And so I said, well, listen, what time, is there a chance of getting in there early? No. I said, oh, that was the first little sentence. No, there isn't. And at this point, I said, okay, should we come back at 4? He said, come back at 3:45. I said, oh, hey, thanks for that 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll be back at 3:45. Looking forward to it. So we go, we spend the day, and we go to all over, you know, Myrtle Beach and stuff, and we're just killing time, basically.
Which is a drag, because you've still got all your bags and crap,
got everything
in the car.
You know, we made the most of it. It was a very pretty day. It was kind of a bonus day. We were already down there. We went to a few of the, went to Alligator Adventure. Yeah. Hey, that's leaving. That's living, rather. You know, they don't feed the alligators all winter. Did you know that?
No.
They leave the food in their stomach. They live off the food that's in their stomach. So the alligators were just about to be, like, 2 weeks later. I think next week they start feeding them. But they were still fat. They're still so overfed that the alligators just sit on the shoreline and go, like that. So we had fun. And then when I get back there at 3:45, I walk in, and it's, because it's been such a long time, this was from 9 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they have the new crew. The fun crew, the happy crew, the crew that lets me know that when I'm on vacation, I'm welcome and I feel good.
Time out. Time out, because I know we're about to get to a good part of the story.
It was just, I mean, it was a little thing, and it's just, the whole thing just adds into a big thing, but it was just, you know, when you check in, it's your first experience.
Right.
You just want to feel welcome.
Like, what did it say at that receptionist desk at KFH?
Director of First Impressions.
Director of First Impressions.
And I had a beauty. Okay. Time out. So tapping touch toes right there. Were you just firing off the double pumper?
Yeah, I wish I should have done that. I should have done that. You know, if I'd known a couple of things I was going to go through, I probably would have. I should have just dumped
given her the finger.
Right,
huh?
Right at the beginning. Hey, how about this? We're staying somewhere else. We're going back to the place where the people make love.
Touch toes. Right there. Time for caller 100. A prize package we've selected especially for you. And another chance to have your rent or your mortgage paid.
Sir.
Up to $3,000.
That's my whole conversation at that place. Sir. Always started with them saying, sir.
Lies straight ahead. Be the 100th person to call Toya right now. Phone number 1-877-365-3636.
Sir.
This is the comic hole created by the absence of Howard McNear's Floyd the Barber wasn't completely filled. It had been 15 months since Howard McNear's stroke. And although he was still suffering from paralysis, Andy wanted him back.
We hauled over there, and his wife, Helen, said, oh, if you'd just let him come back.
Well, they really don't go with this idea, but it's funny.
They built a little stand for him so he could lean back against. Most time we had him seated.
Hey, look at my new wife.
Hi, Floyd.
Howdy.
He was just as wonderful as ever.
Damn right.
Working to break the cycle of babies having babies. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh.
You remember?
Yeah. Dad, where's my dad?
You remember the first Andy and Mayberry we saw when we figured out that Floyd had a stroke?
Put me in the car, and they cut to it driving away.
There.
Make it look like
okay.
I'm driving it, don't you?
Where were we when we saw that Andy and Mayberry?
I don't know.
We heard Chicago with Gary Rosner.
Oh, God, that's right. It's where he made the toilet art.
That's right.
Took our leftover room service food and put it in the toilet to make it look like someone has had a horrible accident.
That's right.
Yeah, that's, boys will be boys.
That's when we left Gary Rosner, who was officially the whitest man on earth, whiter than Rob.
Absolutely.
Wow. We went to Chicago. It was a long time ago.
Very long time ago.
Go for a boys' weekend to watch the Cubs play. Mike had never been to Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
So, one night we were out on the town. We went to Navy Pier in Chicago.
Right.
And we left Gary Rosner with a group of, what, maybe 10 or 15 black women.
He was in love. He was passionately and deeply in love.
And we said, come on, Gary, it's time to go back to the room. And he was,
no!
He was dancing with about 15 sisters around him.
I don't want to go.
I'll see you later.
He had a terrific time. That's also where he mooned us on the same trip.
No, he did more than moon us.
No, he showed us the bad part.
Oh. He pulled down his pants.
Horrible to look at.
And said, look at
we
this.
We all looked, though. Of course.
He's the same guy. I know we've told this a million times, but it bears repeating one more
right.
time. We were at the Cubs game, and we're sitting next to this girl. Stupidest girl ever.
Mm-hmm.
Big, gigantic jugs. And she had a camera.
She liked us so much that she took a picture of us in the stands. There were like 15 guys in different rows from different parts of the country, and we were all, and remember the guys in back of us were rooting for the game, but they were making references to her breasts without her knowing it by going, "Hey, huge teats." You know, come on, batter. Hey, batter, big breasts. Batter, come on now.
They weren't using the word breast.
Yeah, that's right.
Using the
right. Absolutely.
And this girl was just such a ditch, she had no idea. Well, at one point, Gary Rosnick says, "Hey, let me take a picture of you with Don and Mike."
Right.
So she says, "Okay." And while we're getting situated, she's between us. Gary pulls one of his gonads. Out of
snaps off a picture of it.
Out of his, because we all have shorts on, it's about 100 degrees.
Right.
He pulls one of his gonads out of his underpants.
And when those pictures were developed, I mean, you would have seen Mr. Beanbag.
He pulls one of his nads out and points the camera down there.
Like one-handed, and he takes it down there and he's shooting it.
Click.
I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I was laughing so hard.
Here's a picture of this girl getting back to Dayton, Ohio, or wherever she's from. Here's a picture of the... Oh, my God!
He didn't look that old.
Gary Rosnick's nuts. Gary Rosnick, the exhibitionist.
Yeah.
That was the weekend he pulled his nut out of his pants to take a picture of it, and also pulled down his pants to show us his itchy eye.
And we left him with some sisters, and he was lost in Chicago until the next morning.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Hi, caller 100.
Yes, you are. Turn down your radio, please. What is your name?
Todd.
Todd, where are you from?
Winchester, Virginia.
Todd, caller 100. Todd, yes, it's a lifelong dream come true. You've won a case of sun-kissed oranges.
Yeah, congratulations.
I don't pick the prizes, I just give them away. Sun-kissed oranges available at your local grocery store. But wait, there's more, Todd.
Okay.
You qualified for our free money show, end of April, when we're going to be paying tons of rents and tons of mortgages. This is always one of our most popular contests, because without fail, when you go through your bills every month, you know, I mean, you can deal with the fact that your credit card, you can say, you know what, I'll just pay off the minimum now and I'll deal with it later. You can say, you know what, maybe I can go without buying a couple of CDs, but your rent or your mortgage, that's the bitch. That's the one you got to pay every month.
Got to pay that.
So we'd love to pay it for you. How much do you pay every month in rent or mortgage?
$650.
Oh, please, that's so easy to do.
We'll do it for you if you're the winner.
Make sure, and we're going to have 10 winners this month.
Okay.
Please make sure that you're listening to our free money show at the end of the month. Because everybody that qualified will get a chance to have the rent or mortgage paid. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Thank you.
Hold on just a second.
All right.
Okay. I want to finish now with the stuff about the hotel.
All right. It's not really a hotel. It's
golf.
It's a destination where there's some golf courses and they're condos. That's what it is. It's not really a hotel. It's not a place that has like room service or anything like that. It's a place where you rent, but you get this package where golf is included. And so we kill the whole day with my two daughters who are, you know, hanging in there after being in a car, you know, for the whole drive down the day before. And we get back and the guy says, come back at 3:45. I'm like, all right, you know, I wish he could have said like 2 or something like that, but he doesn't. So I said, we'll come back at 3:45. So at 3:45, I go back to the reception desk and I walk up and I say, hi, I was here in the morning. You weren't. And the guy says to me, okay, what's the name? I said, it's right here. And he says, okay, I said, what? Said, the people that are in that condo, they're still in there.
I said, at 3:45?
At 3:45. I said, checkout's 12 o'clock. Yeah. I guess they thought they could stay. I'm like, all right. Now, at this point, it's the first, you know, this is the first day. I'm not going to, and I'm saying to myself, I'm saying, don't lose it on the first day. Good. Don't lose it at the first day. I said, well, you know, I don't know what to do. They're still in there. And at this point, the lovely woman chewing the gum, you know when you deal with women who are good looking and know they're good looking, mm-hmm. So I guess they feel, and she deals obviously with a lot of men, so she's chewing the gum and she decides to lean forward and go, sir,
sir, remember I told you that tone.
Right.
Check-in time is 4 o'clock sharp. And I feel the hair, like, on the back of my neck just beginning to stand up, and I'm like, okay, check-in time is 4 o'clock sharp. I said, when do you think the room will be ready? Well, we're not sure. I said, well, we're 10 minutes now. We're 10 minutes away from 4 o'clock. This is the first day I'm going through this, and I'm just saying, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to pitch a fit. But what they're telling me is check-in time is 4 o'clock sharp. So I guess I shouldn't have shown up at 3:45. But what they're also telling me, it's 4 o'clock sharp, but we're not going to be in the room at 4 o'clock. And I got my kids in the car outside.
The Griswolds are still in that room.
So I calmly say to the guy, because she's back going, you know when they snap the gum, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's over there. No, just kind of looking out of the corner of her eye to see if I think she's testing me, you know, to see if I'm going to really have a meltdown, but I'm really almost ready to have a meltdown already. So he says, we'll do the best we can. I said, well, frankly, you just told me it's 4 o'clock sharp. If you're not going to be able to get us in at 4 o'clock sharp, don't we get some kind of credit? Well, as soon as I say that, he disappears to the back, and you hear this on the wall. I could hear him on, like, this walkie-talkie. We got to get a crew over there right away. And as soon as I said credit, they go into hyperspace, and they get us in there. They apparently said, we've got every cleaning person over there right now, sir. I said, thank you so much for getting me in at the normal check-in time. I really appreciate it. So we go off next day. You know, I'm in there. It's a very nice place. It's perfect. There's plenty of room for everybody. Everybody's happy. Next day, I go to the golf course. I'm all set. I get my bags out. We're there. We check in, and they hook me up because I'm a single. I'm not with a group, so they pair me up with somebody. You always talk about how you would hate
that's
that.
That's what I hate about golf.
Never bothers me. I walk up to this group. I put my hand out. I introduce myself. The guy says, Don and Mike Show? I said, yeah, Don and Mike Show. The guy's from Barry, Vermont. Couldn't have been nicer. Takes his buddy's bag off his golf cart, puts it on another one, and puts mine on his. He's a big fan from Vermont. I think the guy's name, I lost his business card, but I think his name is Craig. And we have a great time. We go out there, we're golfing, it's great. A big storm comes through, and all of a sudden the skies open up and it starts pouring. So we go back to the clubhouse, and we're going to wait out the rain delay, and he's got to leave because he's catching a flight. It's the end of his vacation, he's taken off. So we walk out and say, hey, you know, I really enjoyed it. I wish we could have played the full amount of golf, but we didn't. Hey, nice meeting you. Thanks for listening to the show. He goes out, walks ahead of me. I come out, and he says, hey, Mike, got some news for you. My bag with all my stuff in it and your golf clubs are gone. And, you know, this is the second day, and I'm starting just to twitch a little bit. So, well, that can't be right. I said, yeah, we put them right here, side by side. My bag with my stuff, my golf clubs, and your golf clubs, they're not there anymore. So I said, well, this has got to be some kind of... And then I'm realizing, you know, that everybody else is going back out to play golf. I'm like, we're the only... And I've heard that in certain places this might happen. You have to be very careful. So it... Tick, tick, we asked for the head guy to come out. So the head guy comes out, and he's just, at this point in time, I'm starting to lose it. I'm starting to lose a little control. I realize my golf clubs have been stolen, and, you know, I've got my rental car keys in there because we rented an extra car so I could go play golf and Laura could do what she wanted. I've got my watch in there, and I'm starting to freak out. Guy comes out, and I said, all right, what do you do when this happens? Well, it hasn't happened in a while. I'm like, well, what do you do?
Country living.
I says, well, hold on, sir. Hold on just a second. And he's, and then I look in back of this guy, and there's a young guy that's working there, and I didn't lose it at this point, but the guy is smirking. You know when somebody's just kind of like something bad has happened to somebody, and there's nothing you can do about it, but he's smirking. But the head guy is talking, and they all don't seem to know what to do, right? They're all just kind of like... wandering around.
And the guy from Maine, he's not only lost his golf clubs, but like his suitcase.
From Vermont,
right?
he's lost his all his golf clubs and I think some travel stuff that he had. Like, I don't think he lost his wallet, but I think he lost his keys and there's some other stuff in there. And he's, I think, like 45 minutes from going to the airport. So he's got a much better disposition than I do. I'm really starting to, because of the check-in thing and because of, I'm starting to like go like that. Finally, the guy comes out, the head guy, and he says, well, I don't know what to do. I said, well, what's the protocol? What do you do normally? He said, well, we haven't had this happen for a couple of years. I'm like, oh, thank you. I'm glad you haven't had anybody ripped off for a couple of years. He said, well, and then he looks up at me and says, sir, another person's name, sir, I could run around in circles right now, but it wouldn't do any good. And I just go, I am so pissed. He starts, he says, well, I'll take your names down. And I go, and at this point, I just go,
top of my lungs. At this moment, my wife had pulled up. And I'm going, Ev, I can't believe it. And I turn around, I do what I probably shouldn't have done, because I did apologize to the guy later.
Did you smack him?
No, I didn't smack him. I turn around, I look down, and I said,
well, I could run around in circles for ye.
Oh, and I looked at him, I mean, just pure, unfiltered rage. I said, F this. You don't have any kind of condition. People get ripped off, and you guys are walking around, and you could care less.
I could run around in circles for ye.
Goober. I was so mad. I was so, and at this point, I realized, all right, I've overreacted, because now it's not that the clubs have been stolen. Although the guy from Vermont is loving it. You know, he's, because he feels the exact same way I do, because they just don't seem to know what's going on. Finally, a guy comes out and says, you know, I said, well, what would you like us to do, sir? I said, well, first of all, I'd like not getting ripped off, and I'd like to know, you know, what I'm going to use to play golf with. He said, well, you know, most homeowners' policies cover golf clubs. I'm saying, thank you. But even though it was like kind of a jive thing to say, I was happy. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I realized that, look, they're golf clubs. I'm starting to hyperventilate. And so I'm like, yeah, so first day of my vacation, and everything I have has been stolen out of my, you know, my golf clubs are heading into, you know, into space somewhere. And at this point, the guy says,
you know, somebody might just have picked them up by accident.
And I said, oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. And the other guy says, yeah, that might have happened, but I gotta be on a flight. And I finally calmed down enough where I say to the guy, hey, listen, I'm sorry I imitated your accent there. I was very stressed out, and I was very, very upset, and I'm very, very sorry that I did that. Fortunately, I did that at the right moment, because at that moment, this guy comes up in one of these minivans that's 7 miles long. It's the kind of minivans where you accommodate 15 guys. And this guy comes up and goes, hey, did anyone
get their golf clubs taken by accident?
And I look over, and there, you know, the angels start to sing, because I see the golf clubs in the back. Meanwhile, the guy was in his car that I had played golf with. He's heading right down to his car. He gets his stuff back. And at this point, I go back over to the guy and said, hey, you know, I lost it. But, you know, all right, the guy's giving me a look that's like, it doesn't matter how many times. I'm now recognized as the giant a-hole of the entire week. And I probably can't even go back into this clubhouse to make a tee time, because every time I want to play golf, I got to go back and deal with these people. I got to see them every single day. And this is the first day of vacation. I ended up, there was one day I didn't play. You know me, on a golf vacation, not playing, taking a day off.
Well, you made fun of him. Did you really say ye?
Yes. Yeah, because I tell you, man, I was so mad at the way they just...
It was run around in circles for ye.
Let me tell you. Well, that's what he said, first of all. He didn't say ye. I said ye. He said, I could run around in circles for you, but it wouldn't do any good.
For ye.
And it was just... You know what it was? It was like maybe they didn't know what to do, but at least pretend. Just pretend that you give an S about that situation.
You're in Myrtle Beach.
Hold on. We have another contestant.
You come on!
For the Bush contest.
Hello, Christy.
Follow me?
Christy?
Or do you want...
Christy, honey.
To follow you, Matt.
What, is she at a drive-thru or something? Christy. Hello?
Come on, Christy.
Well,
I could run around in circles for ye.
she was online for the Harry Bush contest. But anyway, I got my golf clubs. To make a long story short, I got my golf clubs back. Everything was fine until they yelled at my wife for coming to breakfast, too. You should know, sir, the buffet for breakfast closes at 10 a.m. sharp.
Sharp.
She points at my wife. The next day this happens. Points at my wife and says, closes at 10 a.m. Because, shocker, next day I wasn't planning on playing golf. I didn't want to have to deal with those people. Point, you know, kind of says, we pull it away at 10 a.m. sharp. But I wasn't going to have any kind of meltdown, because I already had my meltdown. So I can't have a meltdown
anymore.
What
time was it you were trying to have breakfast?
It was about 5 of. And you figure, you get in there, you know, it's a buffet. And when we came walking in, we saw her walk quickly over, and it's this whole thing with its on wheels with steam coming out of the trays, and she is starting to pull it away. She knows what we're doing.
Yeah,
we're coming over.
Excuse me,
it's gonna take us seriously 2.5 minutes to like dip in the ladle of the eggs, put it on a plate and feed the kids, grab a Belgian waffle, put it on a plate and feed my family. That's all. But breakfast closes at 10 a.m. sharp for ye.
Hold on. We will be right back.
This is Hector, Don, and Mike.
Hold on now. Before we get back to the travesty of your vacation.
Yes.
We do really have another contestant for the Bush contest. Hello, good. Jennifer.
Yes, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
I understand you want to do some spring gardening.
Only if you got a real mess down there.
Well, it's pretty bad. My husband has been complaining.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know that what we're offering on Friday for the three worst cases that we see will be permanent hair removal from your bikini area.
That is terrific.
From Physicians Cosmetic Laser Institute, they will either make a nice triangle, or they give you the landing strip, or you can get the JonBenet look.
Oh, dear.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, guaranteed permanent body hair removal for all skin types at 1-800-228-7959. If a single hair grows back, you come back for free.
You come screaming back, and I bet they'll say we'll run around in circles for you.
Each of these surgeries is valued at $1,500. Imagine you'll never have to trim your garden again. Is it a mess down there, Jennifer?
It is pretty bad.
Pretty bad. Well, you come down and be judged on Friday. If you're one of the three worst, you win.
Okay.
Who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Well, my husband says I look like a female Jamie Lee Curtis.
Really, her man?
He says she's really a man.
Yes, she is. She is. She is. There is a professor somewhere in Northern California.
Professor backwards.
Yes.
Professor Irwin Corey.
That's what I'm trying to think of.
She is the man.
Who is officially labeled Jamie Lee Curtis a hermaphrodite, meaning, of course, she has both male and female genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, hold on. We'd love to see you.
Okay.
See all of you on Friday.
Great.
Now, listen, don't clean yourself up between now and then.
Of course not.
Okay? All right, because I wanted to
let it grow, man.
I want to point out that all five senses come into play on this.
Right.
In the judging of this contest on
Friday.
Oh,
now you're grossing me out. Now you are grossing me out.
All five senses.
All five senses.
Oh, yee. Okay, so you're in Myrtle Beach, and you're not having the greatest time.
Yeah, you know, that's... the thing is, I want to say that the majority of the people that I dealt with were fine, were very nice, couldn't have been nicer. However, it was just a few exceptions. I finally got the courage to go back to the golf course, and they have a rule down there where if you're a single, you can't make a tee time. You just have to show up, and they squeeze you in, and they put you with a group, which is okay, but I thought that applied to my wife, who I could pay for, and we would play one round of golf together. So we get there, I get done playing my 18. I'm going to play one more nine holes with my wife, and I get down at about 12 o'clock. And I say, I'd like to play one more nine because we didn't get a chance to play yesterday with the rain. Can I play with her? And, you know, what do you have available? I said,
The only thing we have available is 4:30.
Is this the same run circles for ye guy?
No, this is another guy who I could have had a meltdown with him, too. It was that bad. It was just another guy who was, sir, we're booked solid. I said, well, I mean, if we just hung around and a group didn't show up. He said, sir, I've checked in people that are here for another hour and a half. And he just looks at me like I'm, you know, no delicate way of saying, hey, look, you know, we can try to fit you in, or this is just more slam than we've gotten, and I'm really, really sorry. No, none of that. Just,
I've checked people in for an hour and 45 minutes. Yeah.
I got to a point where I had such a complex that I just didn't want to go anywhere near anybody. I mean, I really want to, and that, it just...
Ah, welcome to my world.
It's just, man, it made me want to do what you like to, you know, just go somewhere, shut the door, and not let anybody in. But I love to play golf, and you've got to have this contact with people. So I ended up going off the property to another place, which cost me more money to go play, because I just didn't want to deal with them. That was the only reason. And I, you know, I thought about that, and that sucks. I shouldn't have been made to feel that way, and I was really, really concerned. And that's kind of how it ended. I checked out, and it was not pleasant. It was not pleasant. But, you know, there were people there that were pleasant, but it was a couple of people that were, sir, sir, and then, of course, the guy that I yelled at. And then the lady that pointed at my wife said, you know, breakfast is served till 10 o'clock sharp. And I was just like, why? And I figured out what the hostility is. The hostility is probably because this place deals with those bands of like 25 guys that come down there, and they probably don't have to be, you know, particularly
polite.
They treat them like drill sergeants, and that's probably what it was. So I just had my little story, and then we enjoyed the fudge show.
What is the fudge show?
We went to Broadway.
Is that something you put on for your family?
Well, I did that a couple of times, too. But I'll tell you right now. Oh, a little fudge show. You know, if they had the attitude of the people at the fudge store, if they had that at the place that, you know, just some of these people at a place where I'm not going to mention, you know, Legends Resort, I will tell you right now that they would have probably done a little bit better. Because the people at the fudge show, I'm walking along this little boardwalk area, and there are all these little shops, and I hear a guy come out, and he starts singing. And I thought I was listening to the music they had played in. And what it is was a bunch of kids. They couldn't have been more than 19 years old. And they're all putting together, they make the fudge. And they put a fudge show on. And if you respond really long, it's like, if you say, do you like fudge? Can you say, yeah? And I go, yeah. And at this point, I'm deciding that I'm really going to be exciting and happy, and I have a new positive attitude. So when they ask for audience participation at the fudge show, while the guy's making the fudge, I'm going to, if he says, how many people like fudge? And I don't even like fudge. But I was there participating because I wanted to show my family that all of this crap that I've been through was not going to affect me. So he said, hey, do you like fudge? Can you say, yeah? I go, yeah. You know, who likes fudge? Raise your hands. I go, I like fudge. And then he goes, we're making fudge, great fudge. and he's singing a song. And then they said, if you
participate. Are they wearing like barbershop quartet outfits?
No, they're wearing a shirt with an apron on that says the fudge thing, whatever the, I don't know, I don't remember. I wish I remember. See, I remember the bad, I don't remember the good. I don't remember the name of the fudge store. But if you go down to Myrtle Beach, there are a couple of places that have these fudge stores, and they do a fudge show. One place had fudge show at 1:30, and what they do is they show you how they make fudge.
I had
an SE time, man. I'm sorry. You know, it really, I really felt like I was cruising from one altercation to the next, you know. And then the day that I thought I was having my heart attack was
what day was that?
That was midweek. That was midweek where I had played golf in the morning, and my wife picked me up. No, I didn't play. You say I didn't play golf. I was hitting balls at the driving range because I was afraid to go over there where I'd yelled at the guy before.
Right.
So they, and then my wife comes up with the two kids hanging out of the car, and I felt really, really good. And I said, this is great. We're going to have a nice day with the kids. You know, whenever I see my kids after I've been playing golf, it's always fun, and we're going to go off and do something fun. And I swear to God, no sooner did I get in the car that I felt this pain like shooting up my neck. And I don't know what it was. My wife claimed it was a muscle pull. Yes, she was right. I was wrong. But it mimicked cardiac arrest. I forgot to tell you that. This is the truest thing. This lasted all day into the next morning where I really, at one point, we all went down to the beach and they're walking along the beach. I said, I got to go back to the car and sit down. And Laura says, why? I said, because I think I'm having a heart attack. And she rolls her eyes and keeps walking. Because she knows me, right? You know, I mean, you know when you said, you were talking about your vacation where you had the bubbles on your back from where you got like food poisoning. You said you didn't think anything of it and you just blew it off.
Right.
You know I'm the opposite. I'm the total opposite. If I have something, I would think that I've been attacked by some kind of jellyfish if I was you. And I felt the same way about this. I said, I really think, at one point I was giving serious thought to going to the emergency room because this pain was so bad. And then I realized that I moved my shoulder around and I said, well, it could be a pulled muscle in my shoulder, but it was causing
my chest to feel tight. I didn't know what to do.
But I got over that and I was able to, you know, somewhat enjoy the rest of the week until I had to deal with checkout, which was another thing where I had to deal with more people that were just like, sir. Because as I was checking out, it's the last thing I wanted to do. I wanted to just drop my keys off, get my bill, and head out of there. And I walk in as 14 men are walking in to check in at 9 o'clock in the morning. And they all have to fill out their, you know, their little cards and stuff. So, I mean, that was I said, goodbye, so long, I'll be back real soon, count on me. And that was my wonderful trip. We had a very nice drive back home. It was pleasant. The vacation in general, I would say there were probably more pleasant moments. If you take out the clubs getting stolen,
tell me what were the pleasant moments.
The waitress yelling at my kids, the heart attack on the beach. You put a few other things. Going to the alligator park and the fudge show were two very nice experiences on my vacation.
Sounds wonderful.
I hope I'd be lying if I didn't say I hope to do a little bit better next time.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Really?
And I hope I got his name right, because he was Craig in Vermont, who is a really, really good guy. Craig, I hope I got your name right. I lost your business card, but you were a very nice man who also got your stuff stolen.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz, it's time for the news in the comments right now. What do ye have for us tonight?
Yeah, I can run around in circles for ye. But tonight, some clues about what...
Is the lead story the fact that Mike went to the fudge show?
No, but you know it should be. Tonight, some clues about what to expect in The Sopranos season ender.
Ooh.
Fudge show. We're making fudge. And the loudest people get the most fudge free sample at the end. You get
really?
A free sample of fudge.
See Hobo Joe there?
It was on. They give it to you on a stick.
Oh,
fudge on a stick.
Stay tuned, please.
No,
stay
tuned. Plastic spoon.
For news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for news and comment.
That's my life.
Coming right up.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, people are still talking. In fact, there are even contests about the ending of The Sopranos, but the surprise
Big
development...
Big Pussy's going to get it.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Big
we'll
Pussy's
going to get it.
Does
anybody like to wager?
Hello?
I'll wager.
What would you like to wager?
Let me think about it overnight, but I'll make a wager with you.
I don't want to, like, killer wager that I'm going to have, like, my genitals shaved or anything
because
like that.
I don't think that by you saying Big Pussy will get it, you think he's going to die?
I think he will be out of the show. I don't think it will be a die or he will go away.
See, but that's a bet that we won't be...
If he goes away, he comes back.
We won't be able to resolve that until January. It has to be... If we make a Sopranos bet, it has to be something that can be resolved on next week's show.
All right,
he'll be around.
It's like the Aaron Brockovich bet. It's a tough one, too.
How about if Big Pussy has any bloodshed? Like, shot to a point where it shows bloodshed? Because I know they probably, even if they shoot him, they won't kill him. But it could be a shooting.
I would take that bet.
I think excuse me. Because he shed blood this week after his car accident.
I was just having my very own Fudge City heart attack there.
Excuse me.
That's a great name for a band, Fudge City Heart Attack.
I think Big Pussy's around for the long haul. I really do.
All right. I don't know. I just think that I get the feeling he's going so crazy that something's going to happen to him.
Yeah, he's around for the long haul.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Richie's not, though. Thank God Janice shot him.
That's true.
That was, you know, and two good. You know, who says that two rights don't make a wrong?
There you go.
In this case, first off, who can blame Richie for hitting Janice?
Right.
What a mouthy bitch she is. Mm-hmm. But then, who can blame Janice
right.
for shooting Richie?
Exactly. And then she shoots Richie, who was going to get whacked anyway, and. You know, they get rid of two characters that everybody hated.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And give credit to those actors, though, for making those characters into people we really, really hated.
I don't think Janice had. I don't think it was much of a script for her to be unlikable.
When she did the toast, didn't you just want to go,
yeah.
Well, the New York Post says the synopsis for that episode, the one you just saw, as provided by HBO, read as follows. Richie and Janice prepare to move into a new house and have their first big quarrel.
That's good.
They play it close to the vest.
They play it very close to the vest. And there is a lot of speculation and, as I said, even contests about how this thing is going to end.
Now, that quarrel, I actually ended with Janice shooting Richie to death. So, for what it's worth, here's HBO's synopsis for the next episode, which wraps up the season. Tony is forced to speak with Livia to discuss her living arrangements.
Okay.
After getting sick at a restaurant, Tony has a series of revealing fever dreams. Prior to Meadows High School graduation, Tony and the boys test drive a spiffy new powerboat.
Okay, so somebody's going to die on the boat.
Big Pussy is going to die on the boat.
These are your clues.
They're going to whack Big Pussy out at sea.
I'll take that bet if you want to make it.
All right.
I'll take it.
It's like $20.
Oh, it's got to be more than that.
I don't have that much, you know. Who knows?
I bet you $100 on the stupid Christopher dying.
$50.
You're on.
$50.
$50. And the bet is specifically that they kill Big Pussy
at sea? How about this? They kill or try to kill Big Pussy.
At sea. What you just said. Yeah, all right. Okay, yeah. Okay.
All right, good. Fine. Done.
Mm. Fine.
We'll see.
Yeah, I know. I'm taking it. I'm like handing him 50 bucks.
Well, thank you.
But I'll be
you,
able to.
I just handed you 100, even though that actress said that technically Christopher was dead.
You never forget, man. You never forget,
never
man.
Forget.
A New York investment banker has been accused of stealing at least $6 million from his clients, and those clients include Courtney Cox Arquette, Matt Damon, Ben Stiller, Lauren Holly, Cameron Diaz, Michael Stipe, Alanis Morissette, Ben Affleck, and Lenny DiCaprio.
What I say to this guy, I say, more power to you.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. All those pricks you just named, they all make way too much money.
They do make a lot of money, and the reason they hire financial people to help them is because they're artists and they're not good at this sort of thing.
Please.
And this guy ripped them off.
Please, I'm an artist. I don't make a lot of money, uh-huh. But I'm an artist. You know how my money's handled?
How?
It's called Bank of Frida.
Well, so you're very lucky to have her to
yes,
do that.
She's a very savvy investment person.
Not everybody
yeah.
has that.
Yeah, right.
Dana,
she's savvy.
Dana Giachetto faces up to 10 years in prison for the federal fraud charges he faces. The 37-year-old's
Dana
accused...
Plato?
No, Dana Giachetto.
Giachetto.
Yes. The 37-year-old's accused of using his client's money to maintain his extravagant lifestyle.
Holy Chateau.
The feds say his biggest victim was the rock band Fish, which lost nearly $5 million on his watch.
Isn't there some big Fish fan who calls us every year
mm-hmm. yep.
tell us that Fish was in some gigantic concert?
Right.
That's we always true. Just hang up on the guy, and he always wants to tell us it's not spelled F-I-S-H. It's like P-H-I-S-H.
Right. Yes, Fish. Ben Stiller lost $250,000.
Good.
B-52's lead singer Fred Schneider lost $250,000.
What's that guy doing with $250,000? Love Shack was 15 years ago.
Ah, but it's very commercial. Lauren Holly lost nearly $500,000 in all that as
good.
Well.
Good, good. She's a C.
Now you know.
I know they all make so much money. It just repulses me.
Mm-hmm. It's not right.
And meanwhile, I don't got the money to scrap together mm-hmm. to drop my life to go down live in the Cayman Islands.
That's what right. you want to do.
Right.
I understand your envy there.
I wish I had that money. God, I wish I had that money, but I don't.
You'd be in those Caymans right now.
Wouldn't be here right now.
You would have called me up and just said, I'm done.
Mike,
just been, let me out to dry.
It's been great.
That hurts me.
It's been great.
That really. Of course, if you had that much money, that you could, like, you know, make it worth my while, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You'd
yeah.
like take care of me.
Buy you out.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Sure.
I know it's been said you have more money.
Thank you. Me too.
Yeah.
That makes two of us. Well, Frida wishes so too. Make that three. Three of us wish I had more money.
Well, I know it's been said before, but there was never a day like this on Wall Street until today. The Dow and the NASDAQ both plunged more than 500 points and then bounced back, more or less. After all that melody, now you have to bounce back, go the other way, because it came most of the way back up. There you go. And after all that melodrama, the Dow closed down just 47 points, NASDAQ down 75. Not bad considering NASDAQ's 350-point dive yesterday after the Microsoft monopoly ruling. By the way, Microsoft, which lost $15 a share yesterday, lost another $3 today. Now, some days it seems like the fillings in your teeth could set off the airport's metal detector, so you'll be comforted to know that they found a loaded gun in the bathroom of a Delta jet between New York and Florida. The commuter plane.
That's the sound.
That's the panic alarm. I don't want to frighten anybody.
You're okay. Hop right on.
The commuter plane with 50 people on board.
Chocolate.
Made an emergency landing in Virginia to dispose of the gun. Delta says it's airline policy not to discuss security issues.
His name is Charles,
yep.
but close friends call him Charlie. And he's behind bars.
You can't come in here with that chocolate bar. You go right ahead with the gun. Buzz will be right back.
This is the dog.
What's the word from Planet
Crackpot? Huzzah! The Don and Mike Show.
Hi there, Buzz. Hi, Don and Mike. Well, there was another manhole explosion in D.C. while we were on vacation.
Really?
And this time, it was near the White House.
Oh, well, now they'll finally start paying attention.
Exactly. A manhole cover just outside the fence at the rear of the White House. Blew into the air. Now, as before, nobody got hurt, and the lights did stay on in the White House.
Why does that make me laugh? I don't know why. It's just the visual.
When nobody gets hurt, explosions are funny.
Sorry, dear.
Earlier that same day, a manhole cover did hit a car not far
from where the gas company officials had just finished a news conference on the subject.
I mean, I've offered many diatribes on this subject. I'll give you one more. There's something screwy going on.
This is something that concerns you. Normally, the issues of the day don't concern you that much, but this is something you've chosen to get involved with.
Yes, because there's a chance once or twice in the next year I'm going to be downtown.
Mm-hmm. It could happen.
Otherwise, I hide in the suburbs. There's the off chance that I may actually have to go to downtown D.C.
You have the right to walk safe streets.
That's right.
Damn right.
You're up.
Damn straight. Halle Berry turned herself in over the weekend after being charged with leaving the scene of an accident.
Oh, that poor thing. I feel for her.
She was released after being booked for a misdemeanor. Berry was reportedly involved in a crash a couple of weeks ago in West Hollywood.
Well, she should marry Matthew Broderick.
The 31-year-old actress, well, nobody died, though. 31-year-old actress faces up to a year in jail and a $10,000 fine.
How's the boo-boo on her head?
I can only guess it's healing, but, you know, with 22 stitches, it's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to leave a mark, as they say. There she goes. Witnesses say her rented Chevy Blazer ran a red light. Berry got that cut on her forehead that did take nearly two dozen stitches to close. The other driver who's suing Berry got a broken wrist. She also claims in her lawsuit that she got neck and back injuries as well. Walt Disney had a mustache, but he insisted that his employees be clean-shaven. It was a family image rule put into effect 43 years ago.
All over.
The rules at Disneyland and Disney World are still pretty strict, but the no-mustache rule is finally history, just in time for the 1970s.
Well, I'm urging any Disney employees listening to us in Florida right now or California, I want you all to grow Hitler mustaches.
There you go.
There's no better way to say welcome to Disney World than with a nice Hitler mustache.
Yeah. And it's tidy. It's neat.
It's neat. Very neat.
Now go for it. Didn't your brother get fired from Knott's Berry Farm for having a beard?
He did. He refused to shave his beard and they fired him.
Mm-hmm. Well, beards are still verboten at Disneyland and...
Out of my way, I'm Hitler!
Mustaches, yes, have to be neatly trimmed.
Uh-huh.
The state of Maine has now joined Minnesota, Montana, and Colorado in trying to do away with the word squaw.
We all
grew up thinking that squaw was simply a Native American Indian word for woman.
You my squaw.
It's not. At best, it's slang for vagina. At worst, it means whore. So, Colorado...
Rob, now you have a new thing to say to women you don't like. Squaw.
Still,
all three, they're virtually the same thing.
So,
woman, whore, vagina.
So, Colorado...
Squaw. Squaw.
Hey, where's my squaw?
Squaw.
Squaw, where's my dinner?
Oh, God.
Hi, squaw. Colorado renamed its endangered squawfish as the pike minnow. Montana and Minnesota did away with all the geographical names that included the word, and now the state of Maine has joined them. By this time next year, Squaw Pond, Big Squaw Township, and Little Squaw Township will be called something else.
Oh, they don't have the replacement name.
Not yet, no. We just got rid of the old name.
So they're not going to call it Whore Maine.
No, but they could.
Time out, Buzz. We have to do this, and we'll be right back.
This is part of their act.
Just kidding.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, now here is Guy Birdley. Win the lottery, and the world will beat a path to your door, especially if you need a kidney. Who says there are some things money can't buy? A kidney dialysis patient in London has won over $6.5 million in the national lottery there. And now Reuters says he's been bombarded by offers from people who want to give him the kidney he needs.
Right.
In exchange for, you know, a little something for the effort.
Well, why not?
Nick Taylor actually started the stampede at the news conference when he said he would trade his jackpot for a new kidney. Now he may have to.
Oh, here he is now.
Vippy chance.
He sounds very, very excited.
There he is.
Isn't that time? Found out this morning.
There he is.
This is at the press conference about the lottery.
Mm-hmm. He needs a kidney.
Right. Keep grilling me. I definitely found it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he found it.
He got a kidney.
Oh, all right.
Good case solved.
I took the circuitous route, but I found it.
Love a happy ending.
That's good.
Found his kidney. You're alone in your hotel room watching a naughty movie on Spectrovision.
Yes.
There's a knock at the door.
What, are you watching me?
It's a Swedish maid at the door. What do you do? In Stockholm, the real question is, what does she do? Swedish chambermaids say they want either the adult movies removed from the rooms or, failing that,
protection from the guests.
Why, are these girls squaws?
No, they're chambermaids at hotels in Stockholm.
Well, wait a minute. The maids normally, don't they do their work like in the morning?
They do, but sometimes the guys are still in the room watching the Spectre.
Oh, watching the Spectre.
They knock on the door to clean the room, and the guy answers the door, you know, turgid.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
The chambermaids say they want to work in pairs, and they want handheld alarms.
Yeah.
All right.
No complaints here.
Got a handheld alarm right here. It's about ready to go off.
Yeah, bring your girlfriend.
Quoting the union, chambermaids are always having to come face-to-face with overexcited guests watching porn.
Mm-hmm.
The maids union goes on to say, and I quote, "We have to dry off sticky television screens and clean stained sheets, as well as picking up used tissues thrown under the beds." One smiling official says he'll look into the issue.
What kind of man rents a room and does something like that?
I can't
imagine.
This
is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
Ah, now we know.
I'm sorry. This television is not useful anymore.
American actress Kathleen Turner is appearing on stage in London, totally nude.
Oh, have you seen her interviewed? I saw Entertainment last night, and her sound bites sound just like those tapes we have of her on Rosie O'Donnell.
She's still doing the thing, but she's talking like that.
Here, listen.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on, that's not a good one. Let me get to the one about cold pork pie.
Her Roby Pasties is truly degrading.
It's adaptable.
What?
I don't know.
I'm not
my irony.
Hello, Rosie.
Can I talk American?
Hi, Rosie.
She has nothing to do with this hysterical situation.
Think of money than a staring contest?
What?
Cold pork pie?
There it is.
Oh,
let me just get to... Hi, Rosie.
Hi, Rosie.
So does this mean we're going to have opportunity for more Kathleen Turner tapes?
It does indeed, because...
Hey, she should enter the contest on Friday for the Nasty Bush.
Oh, I'd win, Rosie.
This show, which is now in London, may be coming to this country. The 45-year-old is playing Mrs. Robinson in a new production of The Graduate. In the movie, we only get to see a glimpse of Mrs. Robinson as she steps out of a shower. In this new production, the character stays nude for the entire rest of the scene.
In her day, Kathleen Turner was a hottie.
Yeah, in her day.
One man in the London audience told a newspaper reporter that Turner looked, and I quote, terrific.
Yeah, and in her day, Microsoft sold for 15 cents a share.
Hi, Rosie.
And in London, they're not using Katie Couric to warn people about colon cancer. They're using bare butts. Reuters says that a cancer research charity there has put up posters of naked bottoms bearing the caption, "It's yours you should be looking at." Quoting a charity spokesman, "We want to encourage people to be rude by discussing their bottoms, problems they have with their poo, and how often they go to the loo."
Hey, you ought to come over here.
Britain loses nearly 50 people a day to colon cancer, and the charity says that's largely because Brits are reluctant to talk about intimate medical problems.
We have to do a break here. They should worry less about their asses and more about their mouth. I can't tell you how many people I saw on this vacation
who were Brits
that we had last week. And you'd see someone coming at you. For instance, there was a couple, they had the cutest couple of kids.
Mm-hmm.
A guy and a girl. The woman was striking. And the nanny was a freaking knockout. Even my wife said to me as they were approaching, "Wow, that woman is good looking."
Mm-hmm.
Short hair, big jugs, nice tan.
Your wife said that?
No. These were my observations.
Oh, all right, okay.
But Frida said, "Wow, she's a good-looking woman."
Mm-hmm.
Braless, wearing a nice little flowery dress. She came over and sat in front of us, and as soon as she opened her mouth, Austin Powers teeth.
Really?
And the same on the wife, who was good-looking. Both these women were so hot until they opened their mouths.
And then the teeth were there. Were they from Great Britain?
Of course. Hello.
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 You may be onto something. If they could chew their food better, maybe they wouldn't have the colon problems.
Right. They should worry less about their asses, more about their mouths. And we thank you, Buzz.
You're back.
Next time you see people like that, give them a piece of rock candy. Watch the party.
Those happy touchstones. Right there, time for Caller 100.
Oh!
A prize package selected especially for you.
Oh, shit off me, mother.
And a chance to have your rent or mortgage paid. Got it for you if you're the 100th person to call Toya right now. Good luck. Toll-free number is 1-877-365-3636.
It's awfully painful. I just broke off my tooth because the man over there gave me rock candy.
The Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Are they twins? Yup. Don and Mike.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
So you ready for that tomorrow, Buzz?
I'm ready.
I think that we're going to start breaking up the news a little bit. We'll have Buzz give us a news update about halfway through the show.
All right.
And then let him come on at the usual time to wrap things up for the news.
Yeah, so we can keep you, apprised of the news of the day.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, we'll start that tomorrow, Buzz.
Excellent.
In the meantime, in sports, the NFL's opening weekend this year has a couple of big matchups. The Sunday night game pits Buffalo against Tennessee. The Monday night game features the last two Super Bowl champs, Denver and St. Louis. That, we just found out, is how the season will open. And a day after leaving Busch Stadium, bent over because of a lower back strain. A day after leaving that stadium, bent over because of a lower back strain, Cardinals slugger Mark McGwire is standing upright again. McGwire says doctors have calmed the back spasms that kept him out of the St. Louis season opener, and he may be ready to play tomorrow. The last couple of American League teams open their seasons tonight when the Boston Red Sox visit Seattle. In the National League, Houston opens at Pittsburgh, Philadelphia opens at Arizona, and after a rainout last night, Milwaukee and Cincinnati again try to open their seasons. And finally, a British woman may be headed for a Turkish prison.
Oh, hello.
Partly because of her body piercings. The woman's been bound over for trial after authorities in Istanbul found a package of heroin strapped to her chest. But they might have never looked there if it weren't for the body-piercing jewelry in an intimate part of her body. Officials won't say what part she had pierced.
It was in me gunny.
But they say the jewelry set off the metal detector.
Hello.
Right there in me gunny.
Take a look at that. It's pierced. And look, I got bad teeth. And that Geronimo gave me rock candy.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
Dwayne, we're done. Done.
Another moment too soon.
Oh, man, we got to catch the next show.
Goodbye, Turkey. My attorney will be in touch.
Sorry, we're out of town.
No.
Oh, yes, that's it.
No.
We got to go now. Tomorrow we'll get more contestants for the big, messy garden contest.
Oh, that is right. Like mine.
That is on tomorrow's show. We'll continue to find contestants, and we'll do that program on Friday. Keep in mind, I didn't even mention a Las Vegas-style show.
When?
Ooh. May 3rd.
Wow. Oh.
Location to be announced.
All right.
But make a note in your day planners. It's May 3rd for the next Las Vegas-style show.
Do we know the city?
Think we do.
Really?
Think we do.
Well, give me a bloody hint. Come on now. Give me just a bloody hint.
It's your favorite city next to Wichita.
All right. Okay. That's good. It's okay. Good enough. I like that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Yes, right. Yes, you are. Come on, guess. Where is it?
No, I'm not going to guess. I don't know. I don't know which one you're talking about. You begin with a B.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Shocker. Shocker. That's unusual.
Baltimore.
A car!
It'll go a little early.
Yeah. La, la, la. That's May 3rd. And attention, New York. Yeah. We're tentatively planning on invading you on Thursday.
Good.
More on that on tomorrow's episode. We speak to handsome Ken Stevens. What's your name, my friend?
Rusty.
Rusty, where are you from?
Monticello, Iowa, just north of Iowa City.
You, my friend, have won a case of sun-kissed oranges. Sun-kissed oranges available at your local grocery store, but wait, there's more. You qualify for our big free money show at the end of the month when we'll be paying rents and we'll be paying mortgages up to $3,000. Because face it, if you pay more than that, you're too goddamn rich to be playing a radio contest.
Yeah, we won't even give you the oranges.
How much do you pay every month in rent or mortgage?
I think it's about $850.
$850? So doable. Thank you. Make sure you're listening at the end of the month for the free money show, okay?
Alrighty.
Beautiful. Thank you, Rusty.
Thank you, guys.
Great.
Thank you. Hold on a second. See you tomorrow with a new episode. Great to be back. Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie.
Hey.
Throw your Santa Claus hat in the air, just like Billy, Tyler Moore.
You might just make it.
Come on.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Like we weren't going to say.
There you go. Meow. Go to the fudge parade.
Fudge show.
Fudge show.
Fudge show. Make the fudge.
See you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, yeah.